Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Hi, today is Wednesday, September 19th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, authorities were successful in ending a barricade situation safely, but there were tense moments when gunshots were heard. An unidentified man fired shots at police from inside the barricaded house. The incident began at 3 a.m. Wednesday on the 1900 block of Roberts Avenue in the Tioga Nicetown section of Philadelphia. Police responded to reports of an argument coming from inside the house. Police set up a command post and are still on the scene, but the barricade situation has ended. A 50-year-old man is in custody. A 41-year-old woman and her 2-year-old daughter walked out of the home safely at 5 a.m. The entire time, the girlfriend inside of the home had an open line with 911 and was speaking with negotiators. She was pleading with the father of her child to peacefully walk outside to police, which in the end he did, and he was taken into custody. A mother has been charged with criminal homicide in the poisoning death of her 2-year-old boy in Tullytown, Bucks County. 42-year-old Jennifer Clary has been charged with one count of criminal homicide in connection with the death of her 2-year-old son, Mazakeen Curtis. The baby's body was found inside the home in the 500 block of Lovett Avenue just after 10:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 25th. According to court documents, Clary allegedly poisoned her son, putting Vicodin inside the boy's sippy cup, causing him to overdose.
Oh, my God.
Mazakeen's sippy cup was sent to a lab where tests revealed the presence of Vicodin on the sippy cup and in the contents of the sippy cup. Authorities say an empty Vicodin prescription bottle was later found inside a closed lockbox in the home. Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub says they have researched the baby's medical history and they could not find any prescription for Vicodin. They also said that it's very rare that somebody would prescribe Vicodin to a 2-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Authorities said the gruesome discovery was made after responding to a welfare check. A neighbor requested the welfare check after experiencing Clary acting extremely out of character, she said. Authorities say that Jennifer was found inside the home with self-inflicted wounds to her wrist. Clary is now being held without bail at the Bucks County Prison. A total of 24 men have been arrested in a sting operation targeting alleged child predators in New Jersey, the state attorney general's office announced Tuesday. As part of the Operation Open House, the suspects were lured through social media to a home in Toms River where they allegedly expected to find their victim home alone. Instead, they were arrested by waiting police. The attorney general made the announcement Tuesday morning. The attorney general said when they showed up at our undercover house seeking to meet their intended victim for sex, they were arrested. The defendants are now charged with serious crimes and are either behind bars or subject to very stringent pretrial monitoring. Among those arrested were a firefighter, a nurse, and 47-year-old Richard Conti, a police sergeant of Howell Township.
Wow.
Conti claimed during his chats that he was a 19-year-old male, believing that he was chatting with a 15-year-old girl. He allegedly said that he had had sex with underage girls and wanted to meet the girl to get naked. He had condoms in his pocket when he was arrested.
So I have a LifeLock, and they always give you updates if there are sexual
violators.
They come into the neighborhood. Yeah, you can go on and check. It's something you don't want to check. It's dear God.
I know. I checked. This was years ago when I lived in my first house, and I checked, and there was one down the street, and I would always ride by and just kind of take a look, see if he, you know, what he looked like if he was outside. Conti has since turned in his weapon to the Howell Township Police Department. Police say the undercover officers clearly identified themselves as underage girls or boys while chatting with the defendants, and despite that information, the men allegedly engaged in conversation about sex and made arrangements to meet the children for sex. All 24 defendants are charged with second-degree luring and additional charges. In sports this morning... Jorge Alfaro hit a go-ahead three-run home run in the sixth inning, and the Phillies rallied past the New York Mets 5-2.
They did it! They did it! They did it!
Phils overcame an uneven outing from ace Aaron Nola, and their third win in 10 games moved them within 5.5 games in the National League East Atlanta Braves, who lost 8-1 at St. Louis. The series wraps up, and game time is an hour earlier tonight in set 6:05. Noah Syndergaard will go for the Mets, while Zach Eflin will start for the Phils. The Sixers have hired a former player, Elton Brand, as general manager. Brand beat out several more experienced candidates inside and outside the Sixers organization, according to sources. 39-year-old Brand was recently promoted to executive vice president of basketball operations after serving the past year as GM of the Sixers G League affiliate in Delaware. After retiring as a player in 2016, he spent 2 years in the organization before this elevation to oversee the front office. Jordan Matthews, who had the 11th most catches in NFL history by a player in the first three seasons, worked out with the Eagles yesterday, 6 weeks after he was released by the Patriots. Matthews caught 225 passes for 2,673 yards and 19 touchdowns from 2014 to 2016 with the Eagles before being traded to the Bills. Matthews played 10 games with the Bills before being released and joining the Patriots, who released him with an injury just a few days into training camp after he suffered a hamstring injury during practice. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We're all set for another day filled with all kinds of goodies, including some money, birthday bucks. It's happening once again, and we'll get that started at 8 a.m. And if you don't know the details, you can go to WMMR.com. It's very, very simple. You just enter a word that we give to you, and you might win. That easy. It happens 5 times a day, so we have that coming up. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today. We are going to have Tom Segura on the program, who is performing at the Miriam Theater on November 17th. It's a fourth show that was added. A fourth show.
Up to four shows. That's amazing.
Wow. Good for him. So that's a 10:30 p.m. show, so we'll talk to Tom later on. Also, Hasan Minhaj is going to be joining, and he's had a second show added.
Look at all these successful comedians.
Theater. Yeah, they're selling out crazy, and we get them on the program. So we'll talk to him later on today. We also have an appearance. We have a meet and eat today. Nick is going to be doing the Philly tour tomorrow night at Saloon 151. It's on Gay Street in Westchester. If you go, just don't touch Nick and you should be okay. He's finally back today after being ill for a couple of days. You think he can handle a beverage tomorrow night, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And these Philly specials are a great time. And I'm trying to remember, this bar, I think, used to be called something else, but it's right on Gay Street in Westchester, and I can't remember the old name of it, but anyway, we'll be there tomorrow night.
It's 151 West Gay Street in Westchester, so Nick will be there from 7 to 9 tomorrow night. So those guys are stopping in today, and we'll find out what they have for us in preparation for that whole thing. Plus, it's Wednesday. We have a secret text word, too, and we have a chance for you to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Miriam Theater on Sunday the 23rd. Is that the added show? Yes, it is. So this Sunday, and the 7 p.m. show is sold out, so this is the 10 o'clock show. You can text the word secret right now to 39333, and we'll send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designate a caller wins. That's how the whole thing works.
Love it.
We are stacked, gang. We have a lot of stuff. So we'll take a break, come back in a second, and we'll do another giveaway in a minute here with our stupid question and the entertainment report that we'll roll out to you. Back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now being ta-ta.
Don't you love it when you take a drink of coffee and you get a mouthful of grounds in your
head? Oh, it's awesome.
Seriously?
This is lovely. Not your fault.
No, it is, but we our filters are like little tiny guys, but they're the only filters that we have.
Oh, that's what
and it's
it
like
is.
A yeah. bigger.
Yes. We're sort of an island unto ourselves now as construction is going on. So yes. we're
no
in the no man's land.
Yes, yeah. we are.
No. We're like an anchorage.
They're ripping apart our floor and there's things keep dwindling.
No, but somebody seems to care because people keep messing with my coffee maker.
Oh.
So, you know, they're putting like cleaner solvent in it.
Oh, that drives me. Yesterday, I was literally about to drink. Cleaning solution because it was in the carafe.
I hate that.
On the coffee maker with the heater on.
There was a whole Twitter exchange over the weekend with Kevin Reardon, Jason Fayon. Do you guys talk about that?
Well, he texted me. Okay. Actually, Blake texted me. Over
yeah, Blake
the
was a part of
because
it
because he had to steal our coffee maker from the from the office instead of the kitchen.
Yeah, and Jason put in some kind of cleaner and then ran it through again, just hot water.
But why?
I don't know.
Marissa, hold on,
clean it out.
I can't believe they stole that coffee maker from the office. That had been sitting there for maybe about a year and a half with coffee in it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But Blake was like, we need coffee. I don't care what it's in.
Is that bad?
So, all right. Anyhow, hey, we're having these struggles today. How's your day going so far? Actually, it's not such a bad thing. But when you do get that mouthful of grounds, it's like, ugh.
I've also had like four measuring cups thrown away. The last measuring cup, I wrote a sign on it that said, please do not throw this away.
So you know exactly how much coffee to put into the machine so you don't toxic, over-the-top caffeinated beverage. So
you don't get crowns in your coffee.
Yeah, all right, anyway. Well, we move on. I have a stupid question. We're going to give away a $50 Visa gift card from the Joint Chiropractic. And I came up with this question yesterday. Ferris Bueller's Day Off was on, and I thought this was kind of an interesting question. In the movie, Ferris rigs up a mannequin in his bed to make it seem like he's asleep.
Yes.
What does he use as a counterweight to make that mannequin move? 215-263-WMMR. It's a very specific question. Okay. Yes, Casey, you got it right. So what does Ferris use as a counterweight to make the mannequin move in the movie? 215-263-WMMR. It's a bunch of birthdays today, by the way. Wednesday, September 19th. By the way, Nick looked it up, Steve. First day of fall is the 22nd.
22nd.
So it's on Sunday is where we begin. So we got a little bit of summer left, and summer birthdays include Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Who is 44 years old today. So happy birthday to him. I don't know if he does anything special on his show or not.
I don't know. They all do well with their respective audiences. Right now, Colbert is in the first place, and Fallon, I believe, is second, with Kimmel third. But they all have their audiences. They all do well, and they all seem to get along.
We also have Jeremy Irons celebrating a birthday today. Latest actor to play Alfred in the Batman saga.
And a damn good one, too.
I like him as well. Yeah, but he's been in a ton of movies, great movies over the years. He's 70 years old today, so it's a big birthday for him.
He's doing this Watchmen series that's coming out. What is it, on HBO?
Does it say who he's going to play, Nick? Can you scroll down and see? Because Steve and I are big fans of Watchmen.
I'm trying to figure out. You want to take a guess? I really can't imagine who he'd play.
Doesn't give him a character name.
It's not anybody you know. Like all.
Damon Lindelof is doing it, right?
Yeah. So it's not like the comedian or the Night Owl or any of those guys.
The Borscht Belt comic.
None of those.
The prop comic.
None of those guys are going to be in it.
Okay. So yeah.
I don't think
It's a riff on it.
Okay, interesting. We'll see. Daniel Lemoyne, the producer, and he's handled such heavies as U2 and Peter Gabriel over the years. He's 67 today. Lita Ford, the singer and guitarist, former member of the Runaways.
Yes.
The first female rock group. She's been by here. She was really nice. She's 60 years old today.
She was living on an island for a while. Remember, she was talking about Bahamas. That? In the Bahamas. Yeah, that ended. But, it was pretty cool.
Y100, I used to call Matt Cord and tell him to play Lita Ford. And he'd be like, what? Who is this? I'm like, can you play any Lita Ford?
Were you a Lita Ford fan or were you doing it as a joke?
Just as a joke.
Okay. Lita is 60 today, like I said. Sherry O'Terry, she's from Philly.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live. I thought she was going to be making a resurgence in her career lately, but I
saw her on something just recently.
I saw her years ago in Avalon, and she was trashed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not like just, she just had too much to drink, and and they kind of like had to help her walk out. And
you were going into the Lita Ford concert.
Right. I was going to Lita Ford concert. Right into
there she was.
But it was kind of.
I'm a huge Lita Ford fan.
It was in context, though, Kathy. It was at night at a bar. It wasn't like, you know, at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the beach.
And listen, the reason why I know is because I went over to talk to her and I was like, hey, listen, I'm a huge fan. And she just kind of like, she was like, thank you. You know, and I was like, oh, I kind of felt bad. I'm like,
you are very kind, sir.
I'm going to let her, you know, I'm going to leave her. But whoever she was with, like, shortly after, escorted her out, helped her out.
All right. Yeah. Real quick, she and Tina Fey are around the same age, do we know? And
no.
They grew up in the same area.
Sherry O'Terry's 56, so she's a little older than Tina, I assume.
Okay.
I don't know how old Tina is. I would imagine she's in her 40s? Mid to late 40s, but Nick is looking that up right now, and we'll tell you in a
moment. She's very talented, that Sherry O'Terry, though.
Sherry O'Terry went to Prendergast case, and so Tina Fey is 48 this year.
Okay.
So Sherry O'Terry's thing, Simida. Simmer down now.
She was funny. I loved her. She's 56, like I said. Paul Williams, Steve.
Just an old-fashioned love song.
Singer, songwriter, and actor. Not only did he write that song, but he wrote We've Only Just Begun.
Yep.
Rainy Days and Mondays. And he also wrote The Rainbow Connection, I believe.
He did, yes. Yeah. We were talking about the death of Burt Reynolds. He was in the Smokey and the Bandit films.
That is correct.
What Burt Reynolds would refer to as the dwarf.
Yeah. I think he just surfaced in that. There's an Amazon show that I watched called Goliath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's him.
There you go.
And it's a great character. I really enjoyed that show.
We're both fans, Preston and I, of the of a documentary about his life. And it's really compelling to watch.
Was it called Paul Williams Is Not Dead?
That might have been
something
it. Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. It was really good.
Like a super Paul Williams fan who realized how weird it was to be a super Paul Williams fan. But it's a cool thing to watch.
And the guy who did the documentary, he followed Paul Williams and they go to the Philippines because he was going to go tour. And the documentarian said, in the Philippines, Paul Williams is Justin Bieber.
No.
I mean, like, really? Throngs of fans.
Yeah, not kidding. Yeah.
Wow.
As he's driving along, there are people on the sides of the road.
It was really funny.
He was on Daft Punk's last album. Yes. I think he did a song called Touch.
He was at the Grammys when they got up to accept the award.
So he is 78 years old today. Two more birthdays. James Lipton, inside the Actor's Studio. Man, he's 92
years old.
That guy, whatever he did to stay younger looking, because even, you know, I haven't seen him in the last 15 years probably, but he didn't look like he was in his 70s or 80s at that point.
He freezes his face or something.
Yeah. He's 92. And then the last birthday is Rosemary Harris. You know this actress. She played Aunt May in the Spider-Man films, and she's 91 years old today. I always liked her as Aunt
May. Really good, and she's good in the sequence in the second one, Preston, where you kind of sense she knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, and she's saying, you know, he represents a lot to people, and she's giving him sort of a nice, nurturing speech.
Encouragement.
Yeah.
My son, Ben, turns 12 today, so happy birthday.
Hey!
12 years old, man. I can't believe it.
One more, and he's a teenager, dude.
That's terrifying.
You welcome, sir.
I know.
Welcome.
I know.
Come on in.
So happy birthday, buddy.
I'm there. All right, happy birthday, Ben. That's really cool. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris uses a mannequin to pretend like he's in his bed asleep. The mannequin moves. What does he use as a counterweight to make that move? And we will go to the phones and see if we can get an answer. I am going to go to Jim. Hello, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jim, what did he use as a counterweight?
A trophy.
A trophy, yes.
Yeah!
Trophy.
True.
That is correct. Jim, since you got that right, we're going to give you $50 Visa gift card from the Joint Chiropractic. You can join Jackie Bam Bam in Full Mummers Ensemble for the grand opening of the Joint Chiropractic on Westchester Pike in Newtown Square, and that'll be this Saturday from noon to 2. The licensed chiropractors from the Joint will be giving away free adjustments plus other great prizes. So stop in. All right, we're going to start with Julie Chen, the whole Les Moonves thing.
Yeah.
She confirmed her long-rumored exit from CBS's The Talk via a pre-recorded video message on Tuesday. I believe we have audio of that, or is that being sent over?
It's being sent over as we speak.
It is, by the way. It's a shorter clip of a much longer piece that she did talking about each member of the show.
She is leaving her host post a week after her husband, Les Moonves, was ousted from the network over sexual misconduct charges. She taped the message from the set of CBS's Big Brother, where she is also host, of course. She made no mention of the case against Moonves, but did say that she intended to spend her time with her husband and son. In so many words, she said, right now I need to spend more time at home with my husband and our young son, so I've decided to leave the talk. She appeared to fight back tears as she thanked crew members.
I'm going to throw up!
Her former co-host, Sarah Gilbert, simply said, "We love you, Julie," after the taped message.
You know, Sarah Gilbert, that
was over and the show concluded.
Created the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that was her idea, the talk.
Yeah. So we have the audio. Would you like to hear that? Here we go.
As we all know, Julie has not appeared on the talk since we premiered last Monday. Moments ago, she recorded a message for everyone from the set of Big Brother, where she's working on tomorrow night's show. We are all about to hear this message for the first time.
I have been at the talk since the day it started 9 years ago, and the cast, crew, and staff have become family to me over the years. But right now, I need to spend more time at home with my husband and our young son. So I've decided to leave the talk. And I know this show and the sisterhood it stands for will live on for many, many, many more years to come. You ladies got this, and I cannot be more proud to call you my friends. I love you.
And then she finished with saying, they got cool.
They got cool.
Whoa.
No, but didn't she sign off with her maiden name, which she hasn't done in years?
She did that last week.
Last week, okay.
Yeah, I believe
It was her married name she signed off with. She signed off with Julie Chen Moonves.
Yeah.
Okay, so she normally just does her maiden name, and she went with Moonves.
She used Moonves. Okay. It was kind of a statement of her,
unity.
Support of him. So
the thing was, Preston, she had been sort of chastised in the past for going after other wives in similar situations.
Well, here you go. Reaction on social media was mixed. Some said that she shouldn't have to pay for her husband's crimes, while others pointed out that she was overly critical of Camille Cosby for standing by Bill after he was charged with multiple cases of assault and saying she is getting what's coming to her. So, of course, you know how wonderful social media
is. But it's a tough place for her to be in. She didn't do it. Yeah. You know, she wasn't responsible for it. She's got a son that she cares about. Trying to hold the family together. I don't know. I mean, it'd be wild to see what's going on. But she's not giving up Big Brother. So
she's going to do Big Brother because it's not a free-form chat back and forth where you're going to have to talk about the days.
So what about your husband?
Yeah, exactly. It would be too awkward to be on the talk.
And by the way, Preston, the people in that Big Brother house have no idea what's gone down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're sequestered.
They're cut off, So she's with hundreds of millions of dollars. She's going to be fine.
She'll be fine.
She's going to be okay. She just doesn't get to do her talk show anymore. Mm. I'm sure she'll find some things to fill her time with. But she had hosted the talk since it launched in 2010, and she remains, like Steve said, on as the host of Big Brother for now. Aja Argento has informed Rose McGowan via Twitter that she is suing her for substantial damages. So it's moving forward for damages for false statements that she made against her last month. On Tuesday, the 42-year-old Italian star tweeted, "The 24-hour deadline given to retract your recent false statements about me has now passed. I must inform you and Dove," who is her partner, "that I've instructed lawyer Michonne Derea to seek substantial damage for deception, fraud, coercion, and libel. You will hear from them shortly."
Her exact words were, "I'm gonna sue you."
No.
So she has now made the statement that it's gonna go forward. So
we'll see how far it gets. Yeah. It's kind of wild when you think that they were both side by side in this whole Harvey Weinstein thing.
I know.
And now they are at each other's throats.
This comes after her tweet issued 24 hours before threatening legal action. She asked for an apology from Rose. She didn't issue one, so here comes the lawsuit.
Well, she issued a veiled apology. She said, "Suck my ass."
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, you can interpret that how you like. Burt Reynolds left his son Quentin out of his will, but still made sure that he'd get support. The will, obtained by TMZ, states, "I intentionally omit him from this, my last will and testament, as I have provided for him during my lifetime in my declaration of trust." So there's a trust fund.
Okay, I'm not that familiar. I don't remember what the story is with Quentin. Sometimes these
He and Lonnie Anderson had Quentin.
Oh, okay.
He was born in 1988. He's the adopted son of him and Lonnie.
Was he in trouble? Do you remember at all? Were there any scandals involved?
Sometimes
he can get screwed up.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his personal life and what kind of life Quentin has led. Reynolds signed the will in 2011, so it's been that way for a while. He appointed his niece, Nancy Lee Brown Hess, as his personal representative for his estate, and then appointed his great-nephew, Brian Ritchie Brown, and then his great-niece, Tracy Erin Rogers, as next in line after Hess.
Do you know anyone who's ever, or have you ever been to an actual reading classic of the will? Reading of the will where you find out then and there what you're getting?
I haven't, no.
It's all kind of just handled by, you get like a notification, right?
Warren, I wonder if most times you know ahead of time.
Do you?
You know what? I don't know. The only thing I've ever received was my dad's mother, when she passed, had left me some money, and he just told me about it and gave me the money. So I don't know what the story is on how those things work out. And yeah, but you've seen, in movies where everybody sits at a table, and we get to find out what happened. You know,
right? I don't know if that happens anymore.
Quentin is the only son of Burt Reynolds.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he set up a trust for him, but he didn't leave him anything in the will, which is kind of like, yes, he did. He set up a trust. So I don't know. Whatever, man.
Fake news.
When Roseanne Barr appeared on Dr. Oz yesterday, she opened the book on the tweets that got her fired from ABC. First, she claimed that the sleeping medication Ambien caused her to write a series of bizarre tweets. Then she defended herself against charges of racism, maintaining that she never called Barack Obama's black advisor Valerie Jarrett an ape, simply made reference to the film Planet of the Apes, which she claimed was politically motivated. Her statement was, well, I've done some weird things on Ambien, and I think a lot of people have, too. I've heard from thousands of people about it. One guy got up and cooked a turkey and ate it, so that was like 4 hours, if you think about it, and when he got up in the morning, he didn't remember. And all the time that happens to me when I'm in the kitchen and there's a whole box of Triscuits out and like eggs cracked on the walls, I Ambien eat like Tiger Woods Ambien drove. It's a weird drug, she said.
Have you ever used it?
No.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That stuff scares me.
I've heard that kind of story about what she's describing here, about that kind of lost time.
I've never even considered it. Is it prescription?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. When Dr. Oz pointed out that racism is not a side effect of Ambien, she concurred. And she said, by the way, on Jarrett's race, she said, no, I said Planet of the Apes. That's a movie. She said, I know what you're doing. I said Planet of the Apes, which is a science fiction movie about the overthrow of evil overlords such as Iran. I have apologized for the following, too. I thought Valerie Jarrett was an Iranian woman, and I thought, as a lot of other people did, too, I didn't know that she was an African-American woman. When I saw her on TV and she's doing her DNA test, she's also 46% European. So let's just move past it.
Okay.
So she's really trying to dig in.
She's out of Hollywood. You know, the last time you reported, she's heading over to Israel to study with biblical scholars or something.
Yeah, that's still the plan. She said she spoke out about how her erstwhile Roseanne co-stars are moving on with the Conners reboot without her in October. She said she plans to travel to Israel when the show begins and study Hebrew. She said, I don't want to be around because I'll get drawn into a negative thing of defending myself or being angry for being mischaracterized. And, you know, I don't. I want to stay away from it. I want to stay in a joyous, positive, happy place that I've worked my way to again in my life.
So she signed over all the rights to the show to let it go on and continue. Got it. I'm curious to see, because I know, Kathy, you were watching, and I was watching it as well. I was never a big fan of the first go-round, but I kind of did like the second go-round. And I'll be curious to see how it works without her.
I know.
The cast is super talented, so I think they'll have a good shot.
I liked the first one. I watched it, and then I watched the reboot, and I was in the middle of it, really enjoying it. This happened, so yeah. I don't know. I'll check it out.
What is she? What had they say? How she gets killed? She tries to defry a turkey and sets on fire.
She said over the weekend that the show would kill off her character via an opioid overdose, but that has not been confirmed. Well, she thinks
they actually did have her in one of the episodes, one or two of the episodes. Kathy, she was hiding prescription pills around the house.
Oh, really?
You know what?
She was.
I hadn't gotten to that. If that was the case, I didn't see that.
That would be illogical.
That could be an out. Yeah, we'll see. Hey, Leonard Leonardo DiCaprio, Paris Hilton, Miranda Kerr, and other Hollywood insiders got hooked into a Malaysian financier, a guy named Zhou Lau's billion-dollar deception, according to a new book by the Wall Street Journal reporters Tom Wright and Bradley Hope.
Why would you participate in anything called a billion-dollar deception?
Well, I don't think it was called that.
Oh, all right.
So the book is called Billion Dollar Whale, and it chronicles...
Why would you buy a billion-dollar whale?
What they characterize as one of the most daring corruption heists in history, one that just happened to involve a star-studded cast of Hollywood hotties.
Interesting.
The book is already creating shockwaves. Now, Lowe, this guy, denies the allegations and has since... Hope and Wright began reporting the story, and has since done this since they began reporting the story in 2015. Their stories have long attempted to pin Lowe to billions of dollars worth of laundering via a variety of schemes through a Malaysian state fund. Now, on Leonardo DiCaprio's involvement, for his 38th birthday in 2012, he was gifted a Best Actor Oscar statuette by Lowe. It belonged to Marlon Brando originally, and Lowe apparently paid $600,000 for it.
Wasn't Zoolander programmed to kill the Malaysian prime minister?
And gave it to him. I don't know.
Right.
DiCaprio and Lowe became friends on Lowe's dime, with the financier shelling out hundreds of thousands on parties to be close to the star, as per the book.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton got to know Lowe in 2009, the year that Lowe set up 1MDB as a state fund. And Lowe started off by flying her via private jet to Whistler and began to pay her $100,000 per event that she attended at his behest. In 2010, he gave her a Cartier watch and $250,000 in gambling chips on her 29th birthday. One night while partying in Saint-Tropez, Hilton opened and sprayed him with a $2.3 million bottle of Cristal champagne that he had bought.
Wait, one bottle?
Listen to this. That's what it says.
Oh, my God. Listen to this stuff.
Saint-Tropez and Whistler and $2 million bottles of champagne and statuettes. Miranda Kerr recently split from Orlando Bloom, and Kerr attended a party thrown by Lowe in 2014. They became romantically involved.
Whoa.
And he gave her a $1.3 million diamond necklace on Valentine's Day that year for her 31st birthday. And he hired Salt and Pepper and Vanilla Ice to perform at that party.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Whoa. This is a player.
That probably cost him $5,000.
Yeah. Other stars who also got hooked by Lowe include Jamie Foxx, Swizz Beatz.
Swizz Beatz? Say it ain't so.
Swizz Neat.
Swizz Neat.
Alicia Keys, Busta Rhymes, and Elva Hosayo.
Sure.
Sure.
So
it's according to the book. This is all allegedly.
Every once in a while, guys like this come along, scammers, and when you hear their stories recounted, you know, these guys hear these pyramid schemes and Ponzi schemes and all this stuff. And once they get up ahead of steam, there's no going back.
Yeah.
Because they're using this money to pay for this thing, to entice this person to give them money, which they used to.
And then they have credibility with these names like Leonardo DiCaprio hangs out with them. And then
hang out with Swizz Beatz.
That leads you to, Swizz Beatz.
Yeah.
And there you go. So
$2 million bottles of champagne, a $2 million hot car, all these things.
Yes.
If he's not a billionaire, how is he buying a $2 million bottle of champagne?
Well, yeah. Well, no, he's a billion-dollar guy, but he's doing this deception somehow or another. Anyhow,
a financial shell game is what's going on.
Yeah. It's called Billion Dollar Whale, by the way. So
I want to see that. It's like Million Dollar Baby.
A lot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a boxing.
It's a boxing.
The 71-year-old Susan Lucci proved that age is just a number in an untouched photo shoot for Harper's Bazaar in October.
Did you see the pics?
I did. She looks great.
Holy hell.
She's wearing a bathing suit.
Yeah.
She said, I feel as good now as I ever did in my 20s and 30s, maybe even better physically. She's been doing Pilates for over 2 decades. And
she
tells the publication, what I've learned is that if you train hard, you can offset some of what you've got going against you. People look at me and they say, wow, she doesn't seem old, but she is old.
And what is she claiming here, that there's no Photoshop?
The photos were not retouched, yes?
No.
You think it was?
Look at her face. She's 71 years old. There's no way.
Well, no, we're not saying she hasn't had cosmetic surgery, but the photo itself wasn't retouched.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Would you buy that or no?
No.
Okay.
I love her. No, I love her. I always have.
Kitten got a whip.
But there's no way. Look at her face. There's no way.
Well, then you can. There's not much of her face in that particular picture.
There's other pictures.
Oh, and we'll see the other picture.
They're from several yards away. So,
And she's smiling very bright. I saw...
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Kathy says they're not touched up, but they're claiming that they aren't. She said, people look at me and they say, wow, you seem old. Wow, she doesn't seem old, but she is old. Meanwhile, the reality is, if you're strong, she said, you're beautiful, no matter what age you are. She admits that her admirable physique requires sacrifice. It means no burgers, fries, snacks, desserts, bread, or pasta.
Screw that.
You may look good.
No.
But damn it, you're not living.
Apparently yesterday was National Cheeseburger Day.
Yeah, that's the word.
And I didn't celebrate.
You had the blast, didn't you?
What's that?
Whatever, the cheeseburger blast or whatever. Oh, that was no, here.
The cheeseburger bombs?
They were
cheesesteak bombs.
Oh.
It was close.
Oh.
You know what? I did celebrate. Never mind. I totally forgot.
Were you sleep eating?
What did you just remember?
I just remember that I went to McDonald's. I got a McDouble.
I got a cheese double.
A McDouble.
Wait a second. I did have a McDouble yesterday with cheese on it.
What's the difference celebrated between a double and a McDouble?
A double cheeseburger costs more than a McDouble. It also has more cheese on it. So a McDouble is two burgers with one piece of cheese.
Really?
And a double cheeseburger is two cheeseburgers with two pieces of cheese.
I had no idea.
You got to know these things.
you're like the burger captain.
Yeah. But honestly, I got a...
Would you like a number with that?
Well, actually, maybe a McDouble's $1.29. Either way, I got a McDouble and a small fry.
So you celebrated
for $3.03.
Without even knowing it.
And you did celebrate.
Yes.
Okay, well, good. Good, good, good. I'm happy that didn't get past you. Kristen Bell likes the occasional puff, and her sober husband, Dax Shepard, is cool with it. On Mark Maron's podcast, she explained, I smoke around my husband, meaning weed, and it doesn't seem to bother him. She said, weed rules. She still sets boundaries. She says, once a week, if I'm exhausted and we're about to sit down and watch 60 Minutes, why not? Shepard recently celebrated his 14th year of sobriety, and she marvels at his ability to look beyond her occasional drug use. She said sometimes, she says he even pushes her to explore new highs, telling her, you shouldn't leave this earth without having tried mushrooms or ecstasy.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's the truth because, like, my brother has been sober for many years. And the truth about it is you're going to be out and around. It's going to be out there. And you best get accustomed to being in proximity to it. So he's worked his resistance up.
Mm. Season 2 of Will and Grace will feature Grace entering politics, Jack planning his wedding, Will launching a teaching career, and Karen getting divorced from the always absent Stan. They teased what's ahead, which also includes guest stars David Schwimmer, Alec Baldwin, and Matt Bomer. Or is it Bomber?
We had him in the studio.
We did not. He's a very good-looking guy.
No, I'm thinking Matt Brauner. Sorry, man.
He was one of the dancers in Magic Mike. He was in the show Chuck.
Some people are saying he could be the next Superman.
Okay. I see that. Yeah, we're looking at a picture of him right now. Yeah, he's got the strong jawline, and yeah, he's a really good-looking guy. Will and Grace, returns Thursday, October 4th on NBC. Yesterday, we were all abuzz because Marvel Studios shared its first look at Captain Marvel, starring Brie Larson.
Man, did it look good.
As pilot-turned-superhero Carol Danvers, set in the 1990s. She's already acquired alien powers and is working with the Krees against shape-shifting baddies, the Skrulls. Also appearing, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, Clark Gregg is back as Agent Coulson, as well as Guardians of the Galaxy stars Lee Pace and Jaimin Hounsou. Among many others, Anna Boden and Rick Fleck direct, and Captain Marvel is set to hit March 8th of next year.
So this is very cool. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series went there. I know, Casey, you were watching it with the Skrull and the Kree and all that. So it's very cool that all this is tying together. But I think Brie Larson looks great.
Yeah.
The costume looks great. Very cool. And you're getting a younger Coulson.
Yeah.
Younger Coulson and Nick Fury.
He's got both eyes too.
Yep. Yeah, he does.
And then one more quick story. Even after moving the party from Sunday to Monday, the Emmys continue to hemorrhage viewers, according to reports. The NBC ceremony, hosted by Michael Che and Colin Jost, garnered just a 7.4 result in the ratings, an all-time low. And observers believe viewership was down 10% from last year's Stephen Colbert-hosted ceremony.
I think what's happening is there's too many of them, and B, 3 hours is too long. You know, and just people, just, there's a lot of other stuff to watch. Award shows used to be kind of a thing because there wasn't as much to watch.
Yeah.
Now there's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I just think award shows in general are slowly just bleeding.
Yeah.
You know, bleeding out.
And the only one that has, I think, the merit to make it work, or the two, would be the Grammys, and if you're into the theatrical stuff, the Tonys.
Yeah, because there's a lot of performances.
Performances.
In both of those.
Yeah.
So you may tune in for something like that. All right, we are ready for clips. Here we go. Hey, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia returned for its 13th season with a poorly kept secret. Here, writer, producer, and star Glenn Howerton talks about the possible return of his character, Dennis. Here we go.
Let's keep him guessing, you know what I mean? Let's keep it all a big mystery. You know what, look, I feel incredibly honored and grateful that so many people are interested in the fate of my character. You know, that means... you know, as Sally Field said, you know, you guys, you really like me. You really like me.
There's a new episode of It's Always Sunny on tonight, 10 o'clock on FXX.
Has the AP bio been renewed? Nick, can you check on that?
Yeah, I'll look.
Because that's the series that he went off to do, which was actually very funny. But he was basically playing the same character on AP bio.
Yeah.
Yeah, season two, Steve, will that be the next season?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they've had one season two. It doesn't say when it's coming out, but apparently there will be a second season.
All right.
All right, here we go with the next clip. I Feel Bad is a new sitcom premiering tonight on NBC that follows the daily struggles of a woman who is a wife, mother, daughter, and boss. Here, show star Sarayu Blue talks about working on a show that is produced by Amy Poehler. Here we go.
Thank you. I have to say, Amy Poehler is extraordinary and one of my comedy heroes, so it's been kind of a dream come true.
So her first name is spelled S-A-R-A-Y-U.
Huh.
Sarayu Blue? I don't really know how. I don't know her.
She has a very exotic look.
Yeah.
I don't know what her ethnicity is, but she's a lovely young woman, and she looks very exotic.
Yes. I Feel Bad premieres tonight at 10 on NBC.
She's from one of those countries over across the ocean.
I miss Regis.
Oh, God.
Like, just in
good
general.
To be back. Yeah.
Where is he?
Oh, it's good to be back.
You're back.
I had the hip replacement surgery.
I miss him on TV. I miss seeing him doing something.
You miss seeing me do what I do. Sit on a stool in the corner of the room videotaping you having sex.
Yeah. I look in the corner and I don't see him anymore. And
I know.
It's sad.
I'm back, though, and better than ever.
Yeah. All right.
Nelly Furtado.
We have a lot going on today. Just yell it. Why not?
I love to say that name. Nelly Furtado.
We are less than an hour from Birthday Bucks Part 2 and a chance for you to win $1,000. Get set. We'll give you the proper word to send over via our MMR mobile app or WMMR.com. We'll get you the details on that. Coming up, Tom Segura is on the show today.
Yeah.
Hasan Minhaj is on the show today. We have Saloon 151 stopping in for Meet Neat and maybe a hottie cam. We'll see when that comes up and we're going on Fox Good Day. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at presidentsteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
We have five gorgeous ladies on our in-studio hottie cam right now as we speak. Gabriella, Dominique, Morgan, Alexa, and Alexandra.
Yes!
So the ladies are there. They're writing down some notes and stuff. You can watch them on our cam, and they'll maybe write down their social media accounts and stuff like that if you want to follow and so
if
on.
If you want
to
slide into their DMs, as they say.
Slide into the DM.
You got it.
I know my stuff.
Yeah, I slid into somebody's DM recently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's a rash. You got to use ointment.
Sure, of course. Anyway, and listen, I'm a little jealous of Nick because tomorrow night he's going to be at Saloon 151 for the Philly tour, and they have supplied the food this morning, and they even did what I appreciate is a little presentation on the plates.
It's damn impressive. What is it?
Blackened scallop, smoked beet, and sweet potato salad. And smoked wings and pumpkin mousse cannolis. So it's up a notch. The Bud Light Philly Tour is taking over Westchester tomorrow night, 7 to 9, at Saloon 151. And that is at 151 West Gay Street. So Nick will be there. And you guys giving away tickets tomorrow night?
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. You better get out there, though. There's only 80 plates of food.
Come for the tickets. Stay for the scallops.
Right.
Good.
Thank you.
Nick just made that up.
Uh-huh.
All right, Steve, I wanted to play a little piece of audio you said was kind of fun. It's from Henry Winkler. He won
an Emmy Night Before Last, and he was really excited about it. And he's
such, we love him.
Such a
we love this guy,
likable guy. And they asked him what the Fonz would think about his Emmy win.
Right, and because he's such a good guy, he does a little bit of the Fonz. And it made me smile, like, right. You know, just listening to it. I think you guys will enjoy it.
I want to hear this.
I was 27 when I got the Fonz. I am 72 years old. And here we are in this moment. If the Fonz was here right
yes.
now, he would be so proud. You know, I'm not kidding you. He would just say, let me tell you something. This, part of this is me, right? I own this.
Okay.
Wow. Isn't that great?
That's cool, man.
It's such a different character when you watch. For so long, that's that guy. That guy is the way he is. He couldn't have been further from that character.
I remember the first time I saw him, anything outside of Fonzie, was Night Shift.
Totally
and
different.
And he was a completely different, meek,
nebbish,
victimish character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you ever see that movie?
No.
He's this put upon guy.
It's hilarious.
Is it really?
That was Michael Keaton's first breakout role. He was great.
Ron Howard directed.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Did he really? I didn't know that. All right. Yeah. But it holds up.
It holds up.
I haven't seen it in a long time. It's one of Chuck D'Amico's all time favorite movies. You should see it.
Because I, you know, there were a couple of movies like that where
they were
Mr. T was in DC Cab, right?
Yes.
I'm like, all right, I couldn't watch
from
that.
From the Shakespeare story.
No, but I loved him in A-Team. Yeah. And then that came out. I obviously wanted to see it because Mr. T was in it. And same thing with Fonzie being in that. But
yeah.
It just.
Well, Mr. T's playing Mr. T in DC Cab, basically. Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
And DC Cab versus Night Shift, little bit difference in quality.
Yeah.
DC Cab sucked. Night Shift was a good movie.
It was
so.
A good movie.
But let's stay with television for a moment here. Bert and Ernie.
Yes.
Their very special relationship has been the subject of debate for a while as to whether or not Bert and Ernie were a gay couple or not.
Yes, whether they're just buddies, roommates, or involved with each other.
One of the show's writers has lifted the lid on its most famous and beloved characters, Mark Saltzman, who joined Sesame Street's team. In 1984, it says he joined the Sesame Street team in 1984, has revealed that he did indeed write Bert and Ernie as a gay couple. But wait a minute, he wasn't at the beginning, right?
I guess not. He didn't create it.
It was 68 that Sesame Street, and they're refuting the claims. However, though, Kathy, there is a case to be made. There's not 1 second they did not appear on screen, both of them, where they weren't being fisted.
Stop it. Good God.
But he's right.
Right? If you stop and think about it.
Mm.
I think it probably
started.
Well,
now that I think about it, no, that never happened.
That did all the time.
It did?
There's always hands up there.
Oh, that type of thing. Okay. I thought you were talking about in their butt.
So. No.
Okay.
All right. I got you. The normal person.
So he told Queerty, the publication, the characters reflected his own same-sex relationship with film editor Arnold Glassman at the time. Saltzman, a script and songwriter on the show, said that he wrote them as a loving couple. And
I think you take it whatever way it works for you.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Here's the way I look at it. They're not real. They are characters on a kid's television show, and they are appear to be adult characters, but they have childlike sensibilities, and you know, so whatever.
You're talking about Ert and Bernie?
Bernie and Ert. What is it?
Bernie and Ert.
Bernie and Ert. No, Ernie and Bert.
It's not Ert and Bernie. It's Bernie and Ert.
I was at a Sixers game. Yeah. I was giving away tickets to Sesame Street Live. And, I said
Ert and Bernie.
And then I was like, no, Ert and Bernie. And I was like, oh, I couldn't, like, get it right. I couldn't. Oh,
no. It's like, hey, Ert's your brain. You're like, no, it's Ernie and
Oh my God. What was I thinking? It's clearly Ert and Bernie.
Yep.
I remember all the cameraman was laughing. And then, like, the line of people, like, where Matt Cord sits, they all listen too. So, like, all of them were laughing. I'm like, oh, great.
Bernie and Ert.
It's like Boot and Foos.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I did one at the, it was a Real Philly Deli tour. What was it? I couldn't say something.
Was it the last one?
No. We were in Northern Liberties and... Oh, gosh. What? Thinly sliced. I couldn't say it.
Oh,
I couldn't.
I saw your outtakes.
Sliced thinly. No. Wait.
Slightly thinned.
You stopped. And like, I, you're like, hang on.
Hang on.
I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Slightly thinned. No. Thin slightly.
We need to have some of them. We need to hear that.
Yeah, oh,
we need
to
have slightly thin.
No, no, no.
Thin, I got to say, though, Ert and Bernie is my favorite.
I love Steve, them. You sent out a video of Bert and Ernie not that long ago. I can't remember what the context was, but it was maybe the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They redid
they redid the opening credits.
The opening of it. And, and listen, I understand how these shows work. If Sesame Street's been on for 50 years. It's the 50th anniversary. And the characters have to evolve. The voices have to evolve. But the way that Bert and Ernie sound now is alien to me.
It's funny that you mentioned the Prince of Bel-Air and Ernie and Bert, because they both have, I think they both of those shows have videos on YouTube that are them to thrash metal.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's great.
Hilarious.
It's great.
Absolutely hilarious. Now, speaking of those two shows and speaking of Happy Days, which we were speaking of just a moment ago, a new survey conducted by audio branding specialist called PHMG revealed that 21% of voters named Happy Days as America's most memorable television theme song.
Oh, really?
Yes. Most memorable TV theme.
So the 21% being the largest percent that were able to lock and load on one theme.
Exactly. So that came in first. Most people recognize that as they remember that more than any other.
Do you remember what the original theme, I believe, was Rock Around the Clock?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, right.
Bill Haley and Comets.
Yep.
Who Bill Haley is from Delaware County, or lived in Delaware County.
His brother is Bob Marley.
No, but it was one of the questions. It was one of the questions for Delco versus Buxco. I don't think I got a chance to ask it, but yeah, he was like in Bethel Township.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know Jim Croce is, but
So what the deal was also when they were playing that, when they would play the Bill Haley Rock Around the Clock, they had to pay you know, the royalties on that. They wrote their own song, and
that eased that up a bit.
And it turned out to be iconic. Nick, can you see who wrote the Happy Days theme song? Because, okay, so what else would you put in there as memorable television theme songs? What would you think would be the most memorable ones?
I can recuse myself because I know the list.
Okay, so. Nick, what do you think?
My favorite all the time is Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, Cheers is up there, Case.
I was going to say Cheers.
Same thing. Kath, anything coming to mind?
I guess.
Well, there's one.
Go ahead.
That I didn't see on the list, Preston, Brady Bunch theme.
Yeah, not in the top. I think they only had the top five in this particular one.
What about, were there any shows that you, where the theme was,
well,
you're not a kind of a, you know, what? You know, with shows that you liked where the theme was, the theme songs, by the way, are almost a thing of the past.
Yeah, is it like All in the Family or something like that? Or?
Yeah, Greatest American Hero was a song that was a hit.
Yes,
believe it or not, a hit on the radio.
Mm-hmm. So they'll take songs that exist now and apply them to theme songs. Like Shameless has one.
Yeah, yeah,
Bloodline had a theme song, but those are songs that are not created for that. So,
well, NCIS did...
The Who.
Yeah, that was The Who for them.
No,
that
was CSI.
I'm sorry, CSI, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Friends song was a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hit, exactly.
Who did that again? Who was the band?
Rembrandts.
Yeah. Yep. It was followed second place by the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I should have known that. Even, like, my kids are into that.
Really?
Yeah.
Even at this point, huh?
My son is, like, the Fresh Prince of... Oh, what did he say? Bel-Air.
A Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, my kids, they don't know that show from Adam, and they love that song. So, yeah. Also, Cheers was third.
Okay. Yeah.
So that did well. Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Though it's weird that Gilligan's Island would be on the list, and the Brady Bunch would not.
I know. I'm surprised.
My favorite is Different Strokes. I love that theme song.
That's an Alan Thicke song, is it not?
Is it really? I think it is. That used to be a go-to of mine.
The world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
What might be right for you
may not be right for some.
A man is born, he's a man of needs. Everybody!
Go on.
Along come two, but they got nothing but the jeans, but they got
different strokes it takes.
Different strokes it takes.
Different strokes rule the world.
Was that saying everybody's got a special kind of story. Everybody finds a way to shine. It don't matter that you got what?
What?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
So Sorry. It's easier to sing when the music
yes,
playing.
Yes, that was good.
No, that's good. That was good, though. You were going for it.
Yeah, you went deep on that. The, you went two knuckles deep.
The girls were dancing, Casey.
Oh, so they were fucking every second of it. Have you guys ever seen that TV show? Different
strokes. Oh, they have. They're nodding. All right.
Oh, all of them. Wow. Nice. Okay. We have a girls on
You know, if you look at the opening credits to this, and they've done it, they did it as a, they did one of those recutting of the.
Music
the,
right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use this, and it shows, basically, it looks like Mr. Drummond is a pedophile, kidnapping two black kids from the street and taking them back to his apartment to do with him what he will. Have you ever seen it, Kathy?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible. It's
chilling. It's freaky. And you know what? I need to go back and review some of those because there are ones that do the opposite of that. They take the movie The Shining.
Yeah, and make it.
And they turn it into like a beautiful rom-com.
I've seen that.
Or a family film.
Yeah.
That one's good. So they've done some treatments on that. So this survey was done by conducting U.S. consumers, over 1,000 of them. And also tied with Gilligan's Island was Friends.
Yeah.
Which is the Rembrandts, I'll Be There for You.
And that was actually a hit, as we said before.
Yeah. Now, they also did memorable film scores. Did you see that?
Yes. I didn't go deep on that, but I saw what was at the number one spot.
Yeah. What would you guys say would be like a movie
Star
theme
Wars?
Or score? Yes, Casey, it's number one.
Sorry.
No, you were asked.
That got 24% of the votes. Almost a quarter of people surveyed cited that as the most memorable.
What are what percentage are John Williams scores at the top?
Yeah, it's probably Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
Nope. It's just the one.
Oh.
So, because after that
007?
Nope. Saturday Night Fever.
Okay.
Well, Bee Gees.
Yep. So, Night Fever, Night Fever.
Stay alive. Stay alive.
Or Staying Alive, I guess.
Stay alive.
You know what that needed?
You can tell by the way I use my work, I'm a woman's man.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
13%.
But that's not a theme song. It's not like when the movie started, it was like, like,
we're dirty dancing, dirty dancing.
By the way, I saw
he's right,
that.
Though. There's no dirty dancing theme.
No.
There are songs within Dirty Dancing that are songs.
By the way, I saw on a commercial the other day for some food product, they used Hungry Eyes from that soundtrack as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hungry Eyes.
What's that other? She's like the wind.
Hungry Eyes.
I mean, my favorite song from that movie is this one.
I love this.
Who's this hula hana of come on, I wanna hula me.
What were the hits from this soundtrack? You had that. You had the
had Hungry Eyes. You had Time of My Life. Those were the two biggies.
Right. And then She's Like the Wind.
She's Like the Wind was in that as
and
well.
And that's Patrick Swayze singing that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They had so many hits that were already songs. It was such a popular album that they made two of them.
What was the one? Hey, Lover Boy. Remember when there were...
How do you call your lover boy?
Lip syncing that one.
I simply say...
What was that?
I simply say, baby.
Oh, yeah.
My sweet baby.
Here you go. We have the list.
Do you remember the Dirty Dancing tour that happened?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Be My Baby, Hungry Eyes, Stay. Oh, from the Zodiacs. Oh.
Is that? Oh, won't you stay?
Jesus Christ. And then it says, yes. There were more songs in this.
What's yes?
I don't know. But it was by Mary Clayton. So
yes. What is yes?
Marissa's going to have to find it and send it over to us if she can. So
God, you know, I
that somebody... was a big, big soundtrack.
Oh, and they tried to drive. There was a radio station promotion that some friends, just for a kitschy factor, trying to drag me to the Dirty Dancer, the Dirty Dancing Dancers.
It was a
the
tour?
Jones Beach. Yes. And it was nobody from the movie.
Did
it was
you just, go?
No.
Oh, God,
it was like a whole bunch of the I don't even know. Who even know what the relation to the actual movie was?
But I was in seventh grade when that movie came out, and I remember kids on the bus listening to that record because it was so popular, and it was such a resurgence for that type of music, for that style of music, and for that age of music.
Well, really,
that they put out a second record.
The Big Chill was, you know, I think
similar.
Two years prior to that, and that I mean that was an entire summer that I lived off of that soundtrack.
So we're looking at the track listing here for Dirty Dancing. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Aww. Was that it?
No.
Different one?
I wanna know.
Overload. Don't know that one off the title. I'm sure we know every single one of these songs. Love is Strange. I think that's the one, Kathy. Hey, lover boy.
Okay.
Why don't you come over here a little?
Hey, lover boy. My name is Man-Thing. Why don't you come over here and let's dance? Baby. I'm Dirty Dancing all over your face.
Just don't try not to move.
Don't move. This hurts.
Now do the lift.
We're filthy dancing. I'll lift you up.
Remember that remake?
Yeah.
The remake for Tasha. Wait,
remember when she has the watermelon? What's playing then? When she's crossing the bridge?
Is that what this that Yes song is?
Because hey, we have watermelon it. Man.
She goes, I carried a watermelon?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Or is it when she was practicing on the
Oh, dancing? Maybe that's it. Yeah, that when she's one. Practicing. Yeah. That's
Hang
what I'm
on.
Thinking.
Here's, this is Yes. Oh, no. It's not an oldie. Oh, my God.
How, oh, so 80s.
How much more 80s can you get than that?
Is this when she's practicing?
I don't think so. Oh, my God.
I love it.
How could fart these songs out.
How disposable does this music sound?
And the music could have gone this way. Running into the night. Everything will be all right. Feeling the pain of blood.
But this is Mary
this
Clayton.
It's like my calling.
Yeah.
Mary Clayton sang on Gimme Shelter.
Oh, my God.
With Mick Jagger.
She was the one wailing
I like her.
In the background.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, she's the female lead on Gimme Shelter.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, there was something I was going to bring up about Dirty Dancing, and I don't remember. Anyhow,
it's so dirty.
It ranks up there, and then James Bond, Casey, also earned 11% in the most memorable film scores, and I think that that would be probably just the theme,
James Bond theme,
you know, as opposed to because every movie had its own song, which was pretty cool.
The one movie where that theme did not appear was Dr. No, the original.
Okay.
All right, what was, don't kill me, what was the theme?
Okay.
Got it.
Here it is.
Right, okay.
That's the James Bond thing.
Got it.
The name is Bond. Mandy Bond.
I love when she comes out.
She's so sweet.
So yeah, these are the ones that the people most remember. And yeah, Steve, I was surprised as far as the television themes. Yeah, the Brady Bunch would have been on there. You're right.
What about Mission Impossible? Is that on there?
Because that is a great. Yeah. That's just an instrumental. It's not a song, but it is a theme song. And if Star Wars and all those are making the grade,
well, and originally, remember that was a TV show theme song.
Mm. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Where
it
came from. So I don't know.
Oh, and Beth Ann says that it was Wipeout that was playing when baby was on the bridge.
Ah,
yeah.
Wipeout.
Yeah, she's right.
It's literally applicable to any song.
It absolutely is. All right, so let me see. What else was I going to mention to you? One more quick thing, and then we got to get ready for our birthday box. So I want to make sure that we're on time for that.
Fox, good day as well.
Should we take a break now?
Or... Let me just, I don't know.
Okay.
What do you got there?
This and that.
Okay, we'll go with this, not
okay,
that.
Okay, all right, this and then I'm trying to find something that ties into what we were already talking about.
Hey, lover.
Yeah. Hey, lover boy.
Hey, lover boy.
Did you ever find that song?
Baby. No.
That was pretty good, guys.
Thank you.
Both of you together
well,
like that.
Well, you know, we're trying to start up the River Valley Vocal Band again.
Here's a musical-related thing. Casey, can you see if we have this clip? I asked for Marissa for it on Monday, I think, and we never got
this
to it.
This one right here?
But she got beautiful boobies.
No.
No?
No, that's not it.
All right.
There's a version of this where the crowd is singing it, and it was a Green Day show.
Yep, got it.
And where was this? I lost part of the story that I had here, but Green Day... before they took the stage, you know, sometimes you go see bands, they just have some music playing to kind of, you know, have a little atmosphere. And sometimes it's really great. I remember Paul McCartney, when I went to see him, his pre-show role was cover songs of Beatles. So it was other bands doing Beatles songs and stuff like that. It was kind of neat. It kind of got you in that Beatles theme, that frame of mind ready to go without hearing the songs and kind of ruining it for you. It was, you know, it was like reggae versions of Beatles songs and different styles.
I like that.
I thought it was really, really cool. And then when I went to ELO, they were doing something similar. They were playing songs of that genre that kind of got you in the mood ready to go. So anyhow, Green Day was having some music roll, and Bohemian Rhapsody came on, and it was a huge venue. It was like 60,000 people or something like that.
For Green Day.
Yeah, and this is them singing along to Bohemian Rhapsody. Is this the whole thing? I'd ask for it at a certain spot and then to take it from there after. So.
How far into it?
I got like halfway into it or something.
Alrighty.
In my original email, I think I said that, Melissa, but maybe I'm wrong. Because they really start getting into it later. All right, let's try it there, Case. Let's see how. Great when you're in a crowd and a sing-along happens when it's unexpected, you know, when it's not when the band is on.
Uh-huh. And then one light hits the stage, I come out.
And it happens at sporting events every now and then, too.
People I love
just
that.
Start singing a song, well, which is awesome.
Right after Tom Petty had passed away, I Won't Back Down was a big thing. That they played it at the Gator Stadium for University of Florida. And then same thing happened up here in at the Link. And everybody was singing, hey, baby. And it was awesome. I want to know.
What is the big, big stadium song now?
Probably White Stripes.
Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, because bands can play, like a college band. And so, if there's 100,000 people and it's a relatively simple melody, they can all sing along to it without sort of stepping on one another.
It was Too Shy by Kaja Goo Goo.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
It's a great song.
It is a good song.
Hush, hush.
And then they tried Never Ending Story, which Lamal, the lead singer, did. Kaja Goo Goo split off and did that for the movie, but it just didn't take. It just did not take. So anyway, I thought
you
that
try,
was
you
cool.
Hope.
All right, listen, we should take a break and come back in a moment because we got a few things going on. We're going live on Fox Good Day. We have our birthday bucks word that we got to get to you, a chance to win $1,000. And we have five lovely ladies on our hottie cam this morning. This is Gabriella, Dominique, Morgan, Alexa, and Alexander, and they're having a good time. You can watch them. We have a meet and eat today, so we've got Salon 151, not Saloon, Salon.
Salon.
Got it.
Ert and Bernie.
No, it's Bernie and Ert.
Damn it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a moment, and the B-File is coming up, too. Stay with us.
Here comes the MM Army.
Thursday from 7 to 9, the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Saloon 151, 15 West Gay Street in Westchester. Catch the big game, win Eagles tickets and an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light. Bud Light Philly special t-shirts and meet Nick McElwain from the Preston and Steve Show. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
So we're going to go on Fox 29, then after that we will do the birthday bucks word because it will be right at about 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure that you are prepared, get yourself set, get the app ready, or get ready to go online because I'm going to give you what you need to know to win $1,000. Come up in a moment. Music Means, we're going on Fox. Here we go.
Hey, Preston and Steve, listen to this. First of all, welcome.
How are you?
Pretty darn good. You know,
long time no see.
Yes.
You know, we all know what a nanny is. Well, now there's something called a super nanny. So the super nanny would take care of the kids during the day. Then when the mom and dad got home, they would take care of the parents. Let me give you examples of what they would do. Daily blowouts.
What is that again?
Excuse me.
What was that?
No, they would blow out the mom's hair. You know.
Oh, I figured dad would be first in that line.
And then maybe a neck massage or something for the dad.
Oh.
And then maybe even they might have a yoga certification to do a yoga class for the whole family. What do you think?
It sounds like hell on earth if I was the person doing all that.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say.
Yeah,
if it were your job.
Yeah, I say, can't you folks get it together for a second without someone helping you?
That's awesome, though. If I had the money, can't say I wouldn't do that.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, you basically, you could have, but do you want, don't you want someone who specializes in the adult stuff, and then maybe you have two teams? Maybe you're so wealthy that you have a constant changing shifts of people, and everyone has their own personal attendant, because you're basically having... Well, butlers and nannies.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a butler.
Yeah, like a butler.
You remember Mr. French from
Mr. French, Sebastian Cabot.
There you go.
That big slob.
Butlers give massages?
What? Butlers give massages? No. But prostitutes will.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Kathy?
I want one.
Would you ever hire this type of nanny? And I didn't have to be a woman, I guess. It was all nannies.
Now, you know, I mean, listen, it sounds wonderful. No, I don't think in reality you could do that. I mean, that's a long day. When does the person get a break? I mean, even if you get an au pair, they have to work a certain amount of hours, and then you have to give them a certain amount of hours off. They can't work all day long.
And then we're doing all that work, because then there's always the debate, do you get one that's good-looking, or, you know, how do you define...
Ah, I see where you're going with this, Alex.
No, but there are people that have live-in help.
Sure.
I mean, if they're that wealthy, you know, they live there, too.
There are even some people that chain them to walls and don't let them leave.
But technically, even if you have a live-in, you have to give... They can't work 24 hours a day.
Okay. No. Who says? No. Really? No, yeah, it's too long, I think. But the wealthy, very super wealthy, are doing this anyway, I think, at some level. Yeah,
man. I like it.
Right?
Yep, I'm
just
on board.
Just real quick for Kathy again. Do you ever go to those blowout bars, which I find fascinating? Women will go and pay another person to blow out their wet hair.
Listen, Mike, I go to the same place. I don't go to an actual blowout bar, but the hair salon I go to, yes, I have been there just to have my hair blown out. I do it all the time.
Kathy's here, everyone. We're going to blow out her hair. She's awesome.
Jeez. Kathy, we'll see you Friday for our salute to the military.
That's
yes,
right.
Mike, Alex, I'll see you guys there.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Bye-bye, guys.
We'll see ya.
Mm-hmm. Love you.
We saw them yesterday. Steve and I went by to go and film an episode of The Q Show, which will air today, by the way.
Yes.
What time does that air on Fox 29? If somebody could be finding out, that'd be awesome, because we're going to be on there today.
I think.
And we ran into Mike and Alex while we were walking through the halls. And we do this weekly, but we don't get a chance. On occasion, we get to see each other in the flesh. So it was kind of nice to run into.
We saw Hank.
Yeah, we saw
wandering around the halls, and then Mike's a great guy, and Alex is wonderful, but she is dealing with the vocal issue. Yeah. She got to baby her voice a bit.
Yep. So she was speaking very quietly.
Yes.
Yes. But it was nice. So anyhow, we're going to be on the Q today on Q's show on Fox 29. So if you watch it, make sure you check it out today. We did a fun little segment with him yesterday. Hey, we got to do this. It's 8:00.
MMR's birthday box. Birthday box.
This is simple, gang. You go to your WMMR app, or you go to WMMR.com, and you click on the Birthday Bucks Part 2 link, and here's what you do. You enter this word. The word for today, or for the hour, the 8 o'clock hour, is program. P-R-O-G-R-A-M. Program, and you have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. And one winner selected at random and will win $1,000 in this company-wide contest. So good luck to you. It's Program.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by CF Logistics, LLC. It's expanding their fleet and looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. Apply today at CFLogisticsLLC.com. That's CFLogisticsLLC.com. A West Virginia man who police say beat his mother with a spatula after huffing paint is facing a malicious wounding charge. 30-year-old Glenn Allen Kasdorf was arrested Friday. The complaint says police responded to a complaint Thursday of a domestic incident.
I'm trying to huff paint!
With injuries, and found Kasdorf in their front yard with a large amount of silver paint on his face.
Look at this picture.
And hands as well. And he also had a large steel bar as well. I know.
He looks like a bizarre Oompa Loompa.
Yep.
dude, that's like Charlie Day.
Exactly. Yes. Huffing the paint around his face.
That's what happens. Police say that his mother was inside the home. She had a head wound. He was taken to the regional jail. Online records don't indicate whether he has an attorney or not.
Well, thank God he didn't have a knife.
Yeah. A man is wanted by police after being filmed sending his daughter inside of what's called a barber cut light cabinet. And this is one of those prize cabinets that you can buy or you can win prizes. She was able to get her hands on some of the prizes and retrieve them before the pair, he and another child believed to be the man's son, left the scene. So he got, you know, you've heard of these kids getting stuck inside a crane machine.
Yes.
This guy put his daughter inside the machine to go get the stuff. Security at the mall in New Hampshire were alerted to the man's scheme by a hostess at a restaurant opposite the machine who told the site two people came in and I heard them say that's so unsafe.
What is this thing again?
I went outside and all I saw was the toddler's head peeping out of the front of the machine. The man says the man made off with multiple prizes, among them a Nintendo Switch and a Game Boy DS.
So I don't know exactly what this device is that you're talking about. This...
So there's all kinds of things, Steve, where, like, lights will move around. You try to time it to where this one light will light up. Or you've seen these prize cabinets where you can win some pretty decent stuff. You can win an Xbox. You can win all kinds of things.
I actually haven't. So, okay. Yeah.
So, local police are now asking for help from the public to locate the man. Yeah, there you go. That's one of them. You've never seen that?
I'd probably walk right past and not realize that's what it is.
Yeah, so this guy got his daughter inside of there and managed to get a Nintendo Switch and a Game Boy DS, and they are looking for him now.
Get in there.
A man was arrested at a Northern Virginia grocery store after he was seen pulling down his pants and rubbing produce items on his buttocks.
Yeah, these are fresh.
The suspect then put the items back on the shelves. A loss prevention employee at the store told authorities. Officers arrested Manassas resident Michael Dwayne Johnson. Johnson is facing charges of indecent exposure and destruction of property.
He's obviously working himself too much.
The store had to destroy several pallets of produce after the incident.
Because they were rubbed on the guy's ass, right?
Yeah, because of that. A police spokesperson did not have information on what type of produce Johnson allegedly defiled, although she said in a police report that they did mention it was fruit.
But you wonder in his mind, or what's being tripped, what erotically is working for him by rubbing a pear on his ass?
Something or the other, I don't know.
Yeah, this is heaven.
Firefighters were called after a corpse was spotted floating in water and ended up rescuing an inflatable sex doll instead. Concerned passersby had called police when they saw a suspicious object under a bridge they believed might have been a corpse. Police were unable to identify what the object was.
I don't know her name, but she thanked me with her mouth.
This was in Upper Austria.
Oh.
Eight firefighters were then deployed to the site where a rescue vehicle and a barge were sent to get up close to the suspected corpse and recover the body. But when they arrived, all they were able to do was give the all clear to emergency service colleagues because it turned up that it was a naked blow-up doll.
She must have been terrified when she died. Her mouth was wide open.
It's not the first time a sex doll has been rescued after being mistaken for a real woman. In July 2016, police were called to an apartment in Amsterdam after neighbors became concerned that a lingerie-clad woman had been seen standing for a long time in a window.
Look at this hideous thing, Preston.
So they've made what they believe
to be a more accurate head, and it is more accurate than the standard painted on face, but the body it's attached to looks like some sort of shriveled alien thing.
Well,
I know it is deflated a bit, but Jesus.
The body is inflated. The boobs and the head are, you know, like hard plastic, it looks like.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow, this one that took place in Amsterdam said she didn't answer the doorbell. Police stormed the building expecting to find a dead body, but luckily the woman in question was made of plastic and filled with air. A driving lesson went off the deep end in Maryland when authorities say the car jumped a curb, crashed through a fence, and landed in a swimming pool. The driver and passenger were uninjured Saturday, albeit soaking wet. The occupants were a man and a woman in their 50s or 60s, but it's unclear who was behind the wheel when the driver turned into a diver. One was teaching. One was teaching the other to drive that afternoon.
Oh, well, good job.
The car landed in the North Creek Community Center pool, which was closed for the season, by the way.
Now, if you want to drive into a pool, here's how you do it.
The man and woman were standing poolside, having extricated themselves by the time rescuers had arrived. Further details were not immediately released. And then we'll do one more story and we will wrap it up. A student suffered a gunshot wound to the hand in an accidental shooting at a Huntsville elementary school Monday morning. Officers were called to Blossomwood Elementary. The student's injuries were not life-threatening. And the superintendent, Christy Finley, said, "We never put the campus on lockdown because this was an accident." She said this in a recorded phone message that was delivered to parents. Once the accident occurred, no other students were in danger. The school was safe and class continued for other students.
How did it happen?
A student brought the gun from home. A second grader, though it's not yet clear to whom the pistol belonged. The shooting happened during gym class when one student was handing the gun to another.
Mommy, can I take daddy's gun into school? All right, but be safe.
The involved students are second graders. The shooting happened in a restroom. Finley said the gun was immediately taken into custody and the gym teacher sought medical treatment for the injured student. Superintendent says she's working with other school officials to implement a district-wide clear backpack policy so they don't have that problem again. And that is what we have in the Bizarre File for you this morning. Reminder, you have about roughly 5 minutes to get involved with our MMR Birthday Bucks Part 2. The keyword this hour is program, and you have until 15 minutes after 8 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app. We're at WMMR.com, and one winner selected at random wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. So good luck to you. Do that now. Once again, the word is program. We have Tom Segura on our show in a little while. We're also going to talk to Hasan Minhaj, and Hasan has a show on Sunday, and that's our secret text word prize today. So text the word secret to 39333, and we will see if you win a little bit later on. A reminder as well that our friends from Saloon 151 are here. Nick and the MMRB are going to be there in Westchester tomorrow night from 7 to 9 to catch a big game and enter to win Eagles tickets and an autographed Eagles merchandise and some autographed Eagles merchandise courtesy of Bud Light. So do that tomorrow night, 7 to 9. Join Nick at Saloon 151. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
By the way, three right now.
It's vacillating numbers. It's amazing here.
Filled with beautiful women in the studio. Gabriella, Dominique, Morgan, Alexa, and Alexandra. And who was the latest? Sam?
And Maggie joined the crew. Sam's behind us over here. She didn't shower this morning, so.
Oh, my God.
That's what she said. She apologized. She said she's stinking up a storm.
All right, so we have these ladies who are now, which is a good idea. They're rotating through the hottie cam this morning. So feel free to take a look, and they'll share some info on their social media accounts and stuff like that. Hey, Marissa, this is a last-second thing, or maybe Casey, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in. We were playing. I assume they're referring to Viva La Vida, which we were just playing from Coldplay. I assume they're referring to this. It says, if you speed up the music of this song, it becomes the music from Mario.
Really?
Mario Brothers, maybe?
I can't do that here.
Would Marissa be able to do that? Marissa's going to work.
He can only
on that.
Slow it down, right?
No, but he can't do it on. It has to be put onto the Vox Pro.
I got you.
Then tweaked with. But,
all right.
So this is the. I don't know. I'd have to hear that sped up. We'll see if Marissa can tweak that in a second.
I've been playing Mario basically every single day. Yes.
Shut up.
Is Jace into it?
Yes. We got the old school system, the new one that came out, and that's better than Call of Duty and some of those other games. So I let him play Mario.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been.
Is he playing it on the Switch?
What is that?
The game system?
It's a handheld.
Yeah.
No, we played on the TV.
Oh, you got
we played on Nintendo?
Yes. It's like the reboot of it.
All right. My kids love the old school games. I mean, I have that video game cabinet that has all the original games, and even the old simple ones are still enough to entertain kids, even though they're used to the high, quality, great video games that are available now. They still like the old stuff. It's still fun, you know?
Retro stuff sort of looks like, oh, this is cool. I've never seen something like this. Yeah. You know, it seems an artistic choice as to what they only had to work with back then.
And I was surprised that he actually liked it, knowing that, you know, there's all these games out there that he's seen that are just, you know, amazing to play. He was still into it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to let this go as long as I can.
Speaking of the old school games, Steve sent me this this story, which I didn't know this, man. You know, Seth Rogen, the actor, the comedic actor.
He was on Twitter and made a bit of a revelation. Now, maybe you knew this, but a lot of people on social media did not. And he's talking about the game Duck Hunt.
Yes.
Which I'm sure we have some sound effects of.
I do.
If you could have that ready. He had said, and this was his tweet, he said, hot tip that's 25 years late, but I didn't,
boom, 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 boom.
But I didn't have Twitter back then. In Duck Hunt on Nintendo, the second player controller controls the duck. Anybody know that?
No. I follow him on Twitter. I saw that yesterday and it blew my mind.
Really?
I never knew that. I always thought the
computer generated.
The system was controlling that.
No.
Well, apparently, the system has to be controlling it. It's if. Because if we never knew it, we never did it.
It wouldn't move anywhere.
Yeah.
So I assume it allows, if you have two players there, that the second player could control the duck.
It becomes a game. Cool. It becomes a more competitive game then.
Yeah. I had no idea.
You know, we talked a little while back about the technology about Duck Hunt.
Yes.
And I can't remember how it works again.
Okay, so
there are actual little tiny ducks in your TV?
Oh.
Yeah.
No. When you pull the trigger,
yes.
Okay, so the entire screen flashes at the instant of a second. And,
yes.
And you barely notice. You just think it's like the muzzle flash,
yes.
or it portrays that. But what happens, Casey, if I recall correctly, I may be wrong about this, but the entire screen washes out except for the duck.
Okay.
And it will reflect back off of the screen into
a sensor
inside the gun itself.
Wow.
That's the way I think it works, but you'd have to look that up. So anyhow, the way that Rogan found out about the fact that the second player controls the duck is he sat on the controller by accident. And he said, my sister found this out because I sat on the controller and the duck kept flying into the top right corner.
Do you remember what a revelation Duck Hunt was? Like, how in the F are they able to do this? Knowing that you can control the duck now is a wholly different angle to the game.
Yeah, I did not know that.
There was a little bit of a glitch in that game, though, where if you just kind of fired the gun into... I don't remember if
your
it was
oldest
like,
son would die.
No, but if
you fire it off to the left or
left
whatever.
Or right or whatever, it would automatically kill the duck.
What is this? You could Casey's right. You could fire off screen somewhere, and there was a glitch attached to that, too.
And the duck would just get shot.
Yeah, you weren't aiming anywhere near the TV screen. Yeah, and then I think those were like the two games that came with the system, right? With Duck Hunt was what you when you would buy the gun, you would get Duck Hunt with...
Restraining order.
And, no. Like as an actual,
and
game,
then
you
Super
get the
Mario as well.
Right?
Was there? I never played any other game with that gun.
There were a few.
I played a game. There was a game which was for the Sega Genesis. Well, it was other systems as well, but House of the Dead.
But the gun was for Duck Hunt, but you had to buy it separately.
Yeah.
And that was the game that you would get. But there were other games that came along, but none of them were popular.
All right, here's how that works officially.
All right.
While older light guns like the Rayolite rifle emitted beams of light, the zapper that you used, and many other recent light guns work by receiving light through a photodiode on or in the barrel and using that light to figure out where on the TV screen you're aiming.
Zappa cool, man.
When you point at a duck and pull the trigger, the computer is in the NES, blacks out the screen, and the zapper diode begins reception. Then the computer flashes a solid white block around the targets.
That's not the screen
that you're supposed to be shooting at. The photodiode in the zapper detects the change in light intensity and tells the computer that it's pointed at a lit target block. In other words, you should get a point because you hit a target.
And so what was the goal?
That's how it works.
In Duck Hunt, was it just to finish as many boards as possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in Super Mario Brothers, you could finish the game.
Finish Duck Hunt, or is it just a high score?
You just keep going.
Yeah.
So the Duck Hunt manual, Marissa pulled this up, and this is what Marissa does. She pulls up all the information.
Pulls up manuals.
It says how to play, and it says in two players. It says the game. Can also be played with two players. One player is the hunter. The other player controls the ducks horizontally and vertically.
How do we never know this?
With the control pad, trying to avoid the hunter's shots until the sky color changes. Ducks automatically escape when the sky color changes.
Yep, didn't know that.
Had no idea.
Nope. All right.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if I can get that.
You can get everything.
I wonder if I can get Duck Hunt for the new system that we have.
It's the new retro system.
The new retro system. Yeah. So the games come, you know, are already on
already
it.
Loaded, yeah.
But I wonder if I can get Duck Hunt somehow.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. So I'd never heard that.
No.
Pretty cool. Nice. All right, you want to go, me to go
line
to these
one.
Cases?
You line one is a cheat.
All right, let me go to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
So I just wanted to weigh in on Duck Hunt. An original hack for the game, you take a magnifying glass and hold it in front of the gun and shoot, you'll shoot the target each time.
I remember that one.
Wow, this is so much fun.
Yeah. I'm cheating.
I'm hitting every one of them.
Hey, I won by not playing at all and just telling people I did good.
All right.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Magnifying glass.
In other video game news, this was interesting. Of course, there've been games that come along and just take over. They just become huge, and they're the sensation. We had the Pokemon game a little while back.
Yes.
World of Warcraft, Minecraft, and now it's Fortnite, obviously.
Yep.
That's the latest one. But Epic Games' massively popular title has just achieved the real brass ring in the supposedly life-destroying video game addiction stakes. Specifically, the honor comes in the form of reports stating that more than 200 divorce proceedings have cited the game in their complaints.
Fortnite has been cited as a reason for a divorce.
Wait, like that they're playing too
They're
much,
playing too or... much. They're absurd. Now, there is a level, we talked That's about crazy. This, there is a legitimate level of addiction. People are being treated for addiction. Now, there have been addictions to video games before. We've had, you know, in the Korean cyber cafes, people will literally starve to death playing World of Warcraft.
Right.
And so, you know, where it just takes over your life, Fortnite is definitely well into that range.
Yeah. And so my son plays it, and he plays it quite a bit. But
too much?
Well, we don't, you know, we don't let him get to that point. But we also have a say in what he can do and what he can't do. You know, when you're married, yes. It's like, dude, I'm a grown man. You know, tough cookies.
I'll go play Fortnite.
Yeah. So you can't,
go to your room.
You can't tell me what to do. Now, what I have, what has happened over the last few weeks is, or month or so, is I've taken it away from him for, you know, bad behavior or whatever. And
does it work?
It has now, I feel like he is responding more now to demands and requests around the house because he knows that it's a real threat to take it away. So he's like, okay, you asked me to take the dog for a walk. I'm going to go take the dog for a walk right now because I know that if I don't, then I won't be able to play this for a couple of days.
I did just, old man. Where's my game?
Yeah.
Also, they're back to school.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the summertime, playing Fortnite when you're sitting around doing nothing all day becomes something to pass the time, and it becomes something to pass the time for the parents, too. And, you know, if Ben was home and we were just chilling and he wanted to play Fortnite, okay, that's fine. But now that they're back in school and there's activities and all this other stuff, like the amount of time playing has way dropped off.
Did you play it, Steve? Fortnite,
yes, though? I played it a couple times. It's a good game. It reminds me of games I like more that are, you know, there are some games I like on that level where you're a multiplayer game and you're playing online. There are games I prefer to that.
It's not really for you, though.
Well, like, but it's fun. But like there's a game that has a similar sort, I think a similar sort of mechanic is Far Cry. You know, it's a shooter.
Yeah, but like,
but
you
it
know,
has a Minecraft element to it as
my,
well.
My son can now, you know, go home, finish his homework first, obviously, and then he can hop online. He can play with his friends.
Yeah,
and
it's like, a social thing.
And that, like, so that's something that I didn't have when I was his age. I played Nintendo, and we would borrow games, or you know, so and so would come over to my house, or I would go to so and so's house, and you know, like, oh, I'll give you Rad Racer if you give me this, and you know, but now he can just go home. It's like, okay, listen, you know, let's all hop online at like 4:30, and when we can go and do battles together.
You don't play much online, do you? Right?
Not at all.
Yeah,
I hate it.
So I'll play, like, I'll jump online and play Call of Duty online. I'll do, you know, the war games. I'll hop on and do. And usually it's in free for all mode where you're just running and gunning and killing. But yeah, if you're this has, I mean, what was it holds the record for the most people playing the game at once. I mean, we're talking millions, maybe 40 million at once.
It's also kind of parent friendly, which is maybe a bit odd to say because it's, you know, it involves killing other characters, but it's not gruesome kills.
Yeah.
It's more cartoony. And basically, it's just a giant game of hide and seek with a gun. And you're taking people out, but you're not you know, you're not really doing headshots that are nasty. It's not as violent as perhaps another game would be.
I don't play online games because my skill is not where it should be to survive more than 10 yeah. seconds.
Yeah.
Every time I respawn,
oh, let me tell you something,
these little bastards.
Preston.
Steve's like from Blazing Saddles. Little bastard
little shot me in the ass.
So so if you leave the speakers up, which I'll leave, you know, to hear some of it. But you know, you don't want to hear that a 7-year-old murdered you, you know, in 7 seconds. However, Modern Warfare, I was playing and I'm in free for all mode. And I was number one. And
nice.
You could hear a whole bunch of, like, little kids go, son of a bitch!
Yeah.
We got the new Spider-Man game for PS4, and I've been playing it for several days, and it's a lot of fun. I really love it. It's just like Spider-Man 3, but a little, you know, a lot more to it.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
And so I've been playing it for a few days, and starting to get my sea legs, starting to get my swinging legs, and feel pretty good. And so my son Parker came down. He's like, you know what? I think I'm gonna start a game on there. I go, cool. He goes, you know, why don't you stay? You know, you can kind of show me the ropes here a little bit while I get started. And I said, yeah, but I got to go do this thing for a few minutes. Why don't you play? I'll come back down a little bit and we'll you know, I'll show you what I know.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. So I go upstairs. I do my thing. I come down 20 minutes later. 20 minutes later. He's doing stuff I didn't even know existed. On yeah. He is moving with such fluidity
uh-huh.
that I'm embarrassed at yeah. how I play.
He and basically beat the game
you
already.
Son of a bitch. I just, you know, some people are just good at it.
Yeah.
They're just really good at whatever. They're just great at that. I have decent hand-eye coordination, but I feel like an old man when I'm doing that.
My favorite game to play, you know, I love the shooters, the Call of Duties, the Battlefields, the all that stuff. They're you know, the Ghost Recons, the even the Modern Warfare stuff, Preston, which you don't like as much because you got it.
Yeah.
You know, you got a weapon, you run, you do what you need to do.
I have played Fortnite. I enjoyed it. I'm not like I'm
addicted.
I could see. You know, I was enjoying it, but like. When you're playing and you have like three kids around the house that are watching you play, they want to play too. So it's you don't really get to play all that. Although we have it on like every system. So, but I am a camper, right? So I don't actively go out and hunt. Like what I like to do.
I don't know
is,
what that means.
It means I go and hide in places and let other people kill people, and then
you go running out and go after them.
Yeah, well, I just kind of wait there, you know.
Well, so I
can last to like top 10. I haven't killed anybody.
They used to years ago, and it was a glitch that was in many games, where all you have to do is hang out where the respawn area was and just pick people off as they respawned. But they, you know, the games got wise, and they staggered the points at which you come back into the game.
And there are a-holes like that. I remember playing laser tag, and, you know, you get shot in laser tag, and
it's got to reset.
It's got to reset. And
somebody would just stand there?
Just stood there.
That's
and like,
not cool.
And I'm walking down the hall, and he's just standing behind me. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, dude, like, what's the fun in that, you know?
So you turn around and kick them in the balls.
Yeah. I wanted to.
But, 7-year-old.
Here, I'm going to laser tag your balls at my foot.
I have an anonymous caller commenting on Fortnite, and the reason we got into this is because apparently there were 200 divorces. This was in the UK, I'm sorry. So 200 divorces cited Fortnite as the reason for the divorce.
If that's there,
yeah,
we've
imagine,
got a few more people here.
Imagine the numbers here.
Yeah.
Anonymous caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, look what is.
Look what is.
So what's your story?
I pretty much play Fortnite basically until I fall asleep at night, like 2 o'clock in the morning. But I also stream on Twitch.
Okay.
All right. I have 2,000 followers.
How many followers do you have?
2,000 followers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, Press, does your son have a Twitch account?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And why are you staying anonymous in this phone call?
Because my work is listening, and so is my wife.
Your wife. So she has no idea that you're spending this amount of time doing this?
She has no idea.
Okay.
No kidding. So she doesn't have an issue with you playing then? Or she doesn't know that you're playing at all?
She would if she knew that I was playing until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And see, it's starting to get away from you a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the question. Do you think you're doing it too much?
I definitely am doing it too much.
Next thing you know, they'll be divorced.
Wow, man.
So what are you going to do about it?
Probably take some NyQuil.
Yeah. Take some NyQuil.
Like, all right, so
introduce her to someone. So when can you start monetizing your Twitch account stuff, right? You know, like how many followers do you need to have in order to, for you to become the next ninja?
Nick Murphy would be able is the word I'm trying to say, give you the skinny on that. Like Lizzie Rose, who is the in our calendar this year.
Yes, I do follow her, actually.
Yeah, she's very active on Twitter, but of course she's also doing the sexy thing as well, and she's got sort of a cool look to her.
Does she make money doing that?
I don't make any money.
No, does she? Does somebody who's popular and better looking than you, Anonymous, make money doing it?
Yes. There is a few Twitch people that actually make probably close to $500,000 a year playing it.
Okay. $500,000.
I'll say it. Yeah. What's a Twitch account?
You actually watch people play video games. You're watching people play games, and as people, sometimes they're at expert level.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just watching just to sit there, and as if you're watching a movie, watching to pick up tips.
You can do that on YouTube.
Right. Yes. People actually give people tips, 200 or but about 2,000 coins or something, which leads to like $10.
Okay.
So that's how you make all the money right there.
But this is live?
It's live.
Okay, so you sit back and watch and play live. Okay.
Yeah, we've talked on the show in the past about that guy Ninja. There's also this guy Ali A, and they are multimillionaires because of Twitch and because of video games, and they specialize in Fortnite. And my son watches these Ali A videos on YouTube all the time, and he's got millions and millions of followers.
Are there, like, popular Twitch followers who are actually terrible at video games? Because that would be my forte.
Right, that you stink.
My cousin.
Your cousin. There you go.
All right. Well, good luck with your addiction, man. Hope your marriage survives.
Do you remember when we walked in, Preston? It was at the Troc. It was the Gamers Convention. It was one particular game. It was one or two.
Yeah, it was.
What was it?
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers, man. Yeah. You had some hardcore players there.
Yeah.
And it was just raucous.
There were tons of people there. It's up on this gigantic movie screen, where they're playing, and it was super competitive, and they took it really, really seriously. And I didn't know what the hell was going on.
So fast.
Yep.
I will watch my son play Fortnite for sometimes, and it's fun, because you try and help him out. Like, man, I think I see somebody over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have a co-pilot.
Yeah.
My wife used to, before we had kids and I would play Resident Evil, she'd kind of be my co-pilot. I would play it and she'd be like, turn that switch and then go in that room and blah, 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 and so on. I'm like, that's it. It was great.
My wife.
I love that.
Freaks. Especially when I was playing Silent Hill and the music would start. I'd have it in surround sound and the whole thing, and she'd have to leave. It was too tense.
Yeah.
One of the girls on the webcam has a Twitch account, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, come over to the microphone.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go on the air?
Yeah.
Here, come here. Come on up. Come here.
Yeah, the one with the Twitch account.
Yeah, come on.
Here,
so get nice and close on the
microphone. All right, right over there. What's your name, by the way?
Gabby.
This is Gabby. All right, and you have a Twitch account.
Yes.
You have a lot of followers?
How many followers?
Probably one.
What?
Probably one.
What game do you play? What do you specialize in?
For Honor.
For Honor? Okay.
I don't even know what that
Not
is.
Familiar. What?
So, Vikings, it would be Samurai, and Knights.
Okay.
So you'd be battling for lands.
Okay. Is it one of these aerial games you're seeing massive armies move against each other? Or,
yes.
Okay. I've seen those. Yeah, there's a lot of apps like
strategy
that.
Games.
Strategy though. Games. Like almost like Stratego or chess from an aerial view.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Do you have a handle or whatever, a screen name that you want to give out so people can check it out? You don't have to.
With my one follower.
I mean,
actually,
if you want more followers.
Playing right behind you right now is For Honor.
Okay.
Well, that's a little different, like though. That's a little bit more. That's actually a third person view.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's actually a little
catapults
bit.
Catapults and crap.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, all kinds of people.
We could have gotten her a second follower, but
she didn't want to give the name. Yeah. That's fine. Follower. Whatever, could have gotten her a few hundred right now, probably. But, yeah, there you go. What?
This all started with Viva La Vida and Super Mario.
You got it?
And we have it.
Sped up. A texter had said that it sounds like Mario Brothers or one of the Mario games.
Yeah, so I think Marissa put them side by side.
All right, let's do this.
Wow,
it's close
in the realm.
Yeah,
rhythmically.
Do you think it's a ripoff?
No,
it's a ripoff.
No,
it is.
No, it's not.
No, they, no, 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 no. Just, they're paced the same.
No, no, no. It's the same rhythm.
Yeah.
It's not the same melody.
With it. It's exactly the same song.
This is. It's the exact same rhythm.
Do you know Where the Streets Have No Name is a ripoff of Tetris, the theme?
Four different Tetris themes, were there not?
It was one of them is an actual Russian classic.
I used to love that.
So I played it so much, and then when I was on the swim team with the tiles at the bottom of the pool, it was like everything, you know,
bathroom tiles,
the bathroom tiles. Yep.
You see it in every geometric image you could see. You would start to play Tetris on it.
My indicator that I was playing a game too much, and this only happened a few times, is when I would dream about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor was when I think both you and I had the same thing. I think it was the we were playing. You played to like sunrise.
Oh yeah.
Or you know what would seeps into your mind? The puzzle solving in the Lara Croft the Tomb Raider games.
There was a Tomb Raider. It wasn't the last one. It was actually before I even moved to Philadelphia. But they had done an updated version of It was Pitfall. They did an updated version of Pitfall. And I played it for so many hours that I dreamt about it. And I woke up and I'm like, I felt bad for some reason.
Like, you feel like an alcoholic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh, and it's not like in the movies.
That's when you got to take a break.
Where, like, you have a revelation in your sleep and you wake up and you go, oh, my God, I got it.
Yeah.
And then you run over to the video game and you beat it.
No.
That's not it.
Doesn't happen that way.
No.
So, anyhow. All right. Well, keep in mind, it can get away from you if you're not careful. So, just
ruin your marriage.
Be careful, if you will. Let's take a break. Let's come back in a moment because we are scheduled to have Tom Segura on the program.
Yes.
And he is playing at the Miriam Theater, a fourth show sold out, by the way. And then later on at 10, we're going to have Hasan Minhaj on. He's got a show, a second show after the first one was sold out at the Miriam Theater as well this weekend.
It's amazing. And
there are tickets up for grabs for that Hasan Minhaj show via our secret text word. So text word secret to 39333. You just might win. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Well, clearly, the Pipples of Philadelphia love this next guest.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
We love this next guest, but they've had to add a fourth show. For him at the Miriam Theater. It'll be November 17th.
Do you mean the newly renamed Tom Segura Theater?
that would be the one.
Yeah.
They're going to raise a banner that night when he comes. No, but a fourth show now, November 17th at 10:30 p.m. You can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. But let's welcome the man, Tom Segura, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Tom.
Hey, man, I wish you had a hottie cam on me right now.
Ooh,
what would we see?
It would be boxers that are a little old and not much else.
Ah. Well, I got to tell you, I am turned on.
Yeah.
Are you a Porky Pig in it kind of guy? Are you you're around that he's just boxers and no shirt? When we catch Tom Segura for his photo shoot at home, the sexy shoot, what are we most likely to catch you in?
Oh, there's no shirt.
No
shirt. There's a little bulge, and there's not much more.
Wow, there you go.
You know what? I read that you had a son in July. Is that your only child, or do you have others?
No, this is number two, man. This is number two. But honestly, I got to tell you, I don't know how, do you have multiple kids?
Yes, a few of us do, yeah.
It's amazing how there's so much panic with number one.
Yeah.
That with number two, I forget that he's alive.
He's even alive.
Yeah.
I'm so much more relaxed about it. I literally walk by the kitchen, and he'll be in a little swing in there, and I'm like, I forgot that we made you, man.
Who are you? Yeah, my sister-in-law, Tom, has nine. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and at a certain point, she's basically having a staff to take care of the kids she was having down the line. They all just take care of each other. So, and sometimes one will be on fire and she'll pat out the fire with one of the other kids.
Right.
You know, so it's like, but in, she's right. She had twins out of the gate and she was just panic stricken. And so I don't have kids, but I've seen, and the parents all seem to have the same sort of take on it. Eventually, you got it. You're cool. And when you remember people like Tommy Lee has kids, right? You got to figure it's manageable.
Is something bothering this lady that she continues to have?
No. And you know what? She does kids right, though. Sometimes you'll say to people, and you'll see, like, you need to stop having these ne'er-do-wells. But all her kids are wonderful. So.
It's Irish Catholic, right?
Irish Catholic, mm-hmm. Yeah. There mm-hmm. you go. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Wow. So listen, Tom, four shows, dude. That's does this happen to you in every city? Do you get this a lot?
I mean, it's you know, I've been very fortunate lately, but Philly is definitely in my, you know, top five or top three probably cities. So I'm very lucky. I got to thank Philly for always being good to me.
No, I got to thank you for just putting a great show up on the stage. I recently saw your Netflix special,
and I'm
hoping that that you're ramping up to record another one. Is that the case?
That would be the goal. Yeah. So I haven't reached out to them yet, but this should be this will lead to a tour that goes into hopefully just shooting another special.
What crazy kind of Valhalla has Netflix turned out to be for comedians? I mean, it's. When you think of years ago, you know, the real estate on television was incredibly limited, and now if you're a Tom Segura and you have a product that's worthwhile, they give you a shot. Is it an effortless deal or pretty much effortless dealing with Netflix?
I mean, Netflix has been incredibly supportive and cool to me. I mean, I know that a lot of comics want to get one on there, and then you just kind of wait and see. You don't know just by getting one on there if it'll work out. You got to get one on there, and it has to find an audience.
Right.
You know, that part is like, it's up to the gods. You don't figure that part out. But if you're lucky enough to get an audience from it, then it's a great, you know, great experience.
Yep.
The only thing you got to worry about now is, of course, every day there's a new professionally offended person that's going to cry.
Yes. Are you having to you don't impress me as the kind of guy who suffers concerns for being PC too much, but is it something that you do have to regardless entertain to some level?
I mean, I'd never really thought about it. I guess what I'm more surprised by now is like the level of just hysteria out there. I mean,
yeah, it's too hyperbolic. Everyone gets outraged. They go from zero to whatever happened to just being annoyed. You know, everyone is just outraged immediately.
I just don't understand like the entitlement of offended, because it's like the only feeling that an adult expresses where they expect you to do something about it. You know,
yeah,
like every other feeling. I don't, you know, if an adult goes, like, I'm tired, you're like, you should take a nap. And they're like, that's a good idea. But then if they go, I'm offended, they just look at you like, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Exactly.
I had a nice long conversation with my wife about this last night. Believe it or not, like, it's the first, like, time in a long time that she and I just sat at the dinner table and had a nice long conversation. And it spanned everything. And, you know, we got into a little bit of the Norm MacDonald stuff and all that. But, you know, the reality is that, like, we're all sort of holding ourselves to too high of a standard, you know, and nobody's perfect, but everybody wants perfection out of everybody. It's just this weird thing that's going on right now. And, you know, I don't know if we're if we're going to get out of it or not. You know, I think this is just the way it is.
Here we go in a serious discussion for a moment. But
and then I'm going to talk about my cancer.
But if you're going to use the phrase, everybody gets so uptight. No, not everybody. It's some people. And you just got to remember that. It may feel like it's everybody, but it's not everybody.
Hopefully in time we'll be able to set up internment camps where these people can be rounded up and kept under guard.
Run with that. Let's see how that goes.
Well, works so often. Speaking of being offended, you're going to Louisiana soon. You're going to be doing a show in New Orleans in about a week and a half or so. How you feel about that?
You have a legendary relationship with this part of the country.
I hired armed guards.
Are you serious?
I did, yeah, I did. I have armed security. I have crazy, like, top-tier wands. And dude, here's how nutty those Louisiana swamp people are. When I did that bit and it got I got over 10,000 pieces of hate mail and comments sent to me, there were people that were commenting on my Facebook page to each other about how they are going to save up bail money for when I come.
Oh man.
I've heard of that. They're like, hey, Roscoe, if we save up bail, like we could beat them up and then we'll get out. Like that's what they were planning their savings for.
Well, so you'd done a bit and you were resolute about Louisiana and you know, what was that movie with Powers Booth where the Cajuns, they were in the
Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time, it's always a crazy Cajun, you know, family that lives back in the swamps there. So, yeah, you're right. I think that's a wise move. And so where did you go to secure your security?
I had to hire a company that specializes like heads of state.
A company missionaries, and I know some people who work in that business. Believe it or not, yeah.
Did you hire Blackwater?
It's something like that. They're like, dude, you don't have to worry about anything. Anyone even walks up to you, we're gonna snap their neck on sight.
Well, all right.
You must really want to play Louisiana at this point, though, Tom. Is it worth it?
I think it kind of died down from the initial blow up. You know, I also got in trouble with. I got in trouble for saying gypsy on television.
Yeah, for saying gypsy?
That's a new one, man. I've heard this, too. And Norm MacDonald, on his show recently, his sidekick said gypsy. Apparently, gypsies are getting offended because if you say gypped or gypsy, you're offending the gypsy community.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a term.
I was like, who doesn't hate gypsies? I said something like that.
Yeah.
But I was, first of all, I was like, I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But then they were like, you know, they go like, the proper term is Roma. And I was like, okay.
Roma? Well, you know what?
This is a new one.
We don't get the updates the way we should. You know, but I had no idea that you couldn't say gypsy, and that was an offensive term.
And you can't say gypped.
And gypped.
This group of gypsies told me that it's equivalent to saying the N-word. That's what they told me.
Whoa. Okay, so have you ever seen the movie Drag Me to Hell?
No.
That's a gypsy curse. Thinner, that's a gypsy curse. You may want to listen to what they have to say because there's always some.
Excuse me. I think you mean the G word.
I had no idea that the word gypped came from gypsy. I had no idea. It was just a word that I said.
You know what? I think it starts sometimes, Tom, in places other than the U.S., but then because of social media, it migrates here more easily. And so somebody in the U.K. gets offended at gypped, and then people here think, oh, we can't say it in the United States, too. It's this weird migration of being offended.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. And it is like, and also, like, it's giving people, I think, something to put their energy into.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, man, you need to try Spin Class.
Yeah, Spin right? Class would take, or Fortnite would take care of this.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, so your wife, who's very talented as well, and you do the podcast with, has she sat you down and said, you know, I mean, did she try to dissuade you from going to do the show?
Yes. she's the reason I hired that security.
Okay, so you were going to go in guns a-blazing by your, you know, go solo, go Van Damme it, and she said you needed security.
Oh, yeah, she was like, you're not going there without this.
So. All right, I'll bite. I don't know what offended people in Louisiana. I don't know the bit.
You don't know the bit?
No, I don't know the bit.
Okay.
It's pretty long, but I mean, it basically said we should build a wall, but it should be around the state of Louisiana.
Okay. Like in so many words. All right, I gotcha.
And it, but it was a lot longer with a lot more nuance to it.
Yeah.
So besides that, though, everyone, you know, besides the gypsy community or the G word, the G community, you're the material is has never been better. And as you start to go through and as you assemble stuff for like these shows and stuff, do you usually have a turnaround of like a year from a time you start working the material to a time it's ready for like a special?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, about a year. I think this is the sixth hour that I've done, and it's pretty much on that pace. When it's actually recorded, I try to start pretty much, you know, within a month from the recording on trying to get new stuff going. And then about within a year it's ready, and then I usually shoot it about 5 or 6 months after the year point.
And what about this now, this CBS series? Is this happening? We see it's mentioned in reference to a fair amount of little things.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool. My wife and I, you know, we've been doing that podcast for 8 years.
Yeah.
We kind of developed a really, you know, a fun dynamic, and we have, like, my parents are a regular part of the show.
Right.
So it was sort of like you were, you know, working out a show, a different show on there. And CBS made what's called a put pilot commitment, which is if they don't make our pilot, they have to pay us like they did make it.
Wow.
So be an incentive to make it. So we're on that path with them, so hopefully we get it, we get to make it. You know, it'd be great. It's a sitcom where we basically make a big deal out of little things. So
would they have the brains? Well, don't want to kill the deal for you, but I mean, you guys would be the likely stars. So yeah. Would that be the case?
Yeah, that is the case.
Yeah. Okay.
I had to ask you about this, Tom. Not that long ago, we had a guy who is actually from our area who recorded himself farting over the course of 6 months and goes by the name Paul Flart. He's actually from the Philly area, and he called us. And did I see correctly, you started a petition to try to get a statue of him erected?
That is correct. I actually petitioned the White House directly.
Ah!
Smart.
Go to the top. To the top.
Yeah. He worked for Kim Kardashian.
That's true. I just feel like Paul, who I had also on the podcast, I reached out and I was like, we want to talk to real stars, so I reached out, and I feel like he embodies what it really is to be American and to embrace the American spirit. I mean, he's independent; he does his own work, his art for all of us, and I just wanted to celebrate him. And I feel like I'd like the statue to be within 100 yards of the White House.
Wow. Why not? Is there actually any statue on the White House grounds right near the house itself?
That's a good question.
I mean, there may be a fountain or something, but not an actual statue. I'd be
not
curious.
Not that I know of.
And the great thing is that when you see the guy, he looks exactly like the kind of guy who would put together a fart montage.
He does. And my favorite part of interviewing him was, I think my wife goes, so like, is there something like you eat like specially to get yourself ready to fart like this? Uh-huh. And he goes, nah, I'm just fat, and I just eat a lot, and I happen to fart a lot.
That's it.
That's it. We need a straight shooter like that in this country.
We're tired of the politics.
That's right.
Correct. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, man, 4 shows, and let's see if you sell out this fourth one.
The fourth show is actually the second show Friday. That's the fourth show.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. So I've got you appearing on the 16th and 17th, and you're right. It says here, the 16th, the show was added at 8:00, or I'm sorry, 10:30.
Yeah.
But we do have
that's awesome.
We do have some tickets to give away see Tom, which is cool. And I'll give away a pair of tickets for that new show, November 16th at 10:30. So we'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR, and you can get tickets through the KimmelCenter.org. Yeah, Casey?
Yeah, and I'd also like to add that you're also, like, you know, this is going to sell out. I have, no fear about that. But the 2 nights before that, you're going to be performing in Montclair, New Jersey. Is there any chance you're going to get in town early enough on Friday to visit us in studio?
Man, that would be cool. Let me see. How far is that from you?
About 5.5, 6.5 days. No, I don't know, like an hour and a half, 2 hours max.
Maybe. I have a show Wednesday and Thursday in Montclair, and then, Friday I go to Philly, so it just depends on getting to Philly.
Yeah, see how it works out.
I got an extra bed if you need to crash, Tommy. Come over.
Okay,
cool.
Yes.
And security to spare.
right, exactly. All right.
I'll blop on it.
Cool, man. Well, continue success, and maybe we'll see you in a little while. All right, bud?
Thank you guys for having me, and thank you, Philadelphia, for coming out. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Tom Segura, guys.
Yeah.
And we'll have some more of those tickets to give away this week as well, which is really cool. So that's he's a great guy, man.
He is great.
I did not know the Louisiana bit.
Yeah.
It's part of it. Is it his Netflix special?
He had spoken about it last time. It's part of Stand Up for the longest time. Is it in the Netflix special?
I don't think it is. I know of, but the thing is, so
I don't remember it. In that.
He said it like, you know, as a joke, and it's clearly a joke. But the people of Louisiana, some people of Louisiana, got upset about it, and instead of like retracting his statement or just saying, hey,
he doubled down.
Yeah. And then he's tripled down and quadrupled down, and now he's got our armed guards.
He was selling shirts at the shows with the wall around Louisiana.
You know, I think I recall that.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice, man. I was reading he's going to be in a, is it a show or a movie? It's a movie with Mark Wahlberg called Instant Family.
Yeah.
Comes out in November, by the way, and it's about a family that adopts three kids. And we didn't, you know, we weren't going to talk to him forever, but I meant to get to this last week. But did you guys see the where Mark had posted his daily routine?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you see it, Casey?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Kathy, you...
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God. It's not human.
Well, he wakes up. You have it there?
I have the whole thing here.
Yeah. So what time does he wake up?
So
Preston?
He...
And by the way, he's not doing a morning show.
He gets up at 2:30 a.m., has a half hour of prayers. After breakfast at 3:15, he does a 90-minute workout, followed by another meal, shower, snack, golf, and cryo chamber recovery. And that's all before 10:30 a.m. He goes to bed at 7:30. But I have the actual, this is how it completely plays out. This is him saying that what his day starts off as. Hour and a half set aside for a shower, following a half hour devoted to playing golf as well. All right. So, but, and then he goes into his food intake and exactly what he eats. He said, I start out with steel oats, blueberries, and peanut butter for breakfast. Then I have a protein shake, 3 turkey burgers, 5 pieces of sweet potato at about 5:30 in the morning.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, 3 turkey burgers.
What has he done prior?
At 5:30 in the morning.
He's been awake for 3 hours. What has he done so far?
He's done a 90-minute workout.
Yeah, he's done a 90-minute workout, half-hour prayer.
Half-hour prayer, 90-minute workout, another meal, shower, snack, and then he has a half-hour for golf, which is not enough, and cryo chamber recovery. That's all before 10:30 a.m.
Oh,
so,
my God.
At 8 o'clock, he said, I have about 10 turkey meatballs. At 10:30 a.m., I have a grilled chicken salad with 2 hard-boiled eggs, olives, avocado, cucumber, tomato, and lettuce. Then at 1 o'clock, I have a New York steak with green peppers. At 3:30 p.m., I have grilled chicken with bok choy. And at 5:30, 6 o'clock, I have a beautiful piece of halibut or cod or sea bass with some vegetables, maybe some sautéed potatoes and bok choy. And I have a lot of aqua hydrate during the day. That's it. So this was this is what he did in preparation for his role in Mile 22.
Okay, so this is in preparation for a movie. This would not be his normal daily regimen.
Yeah, I don't know what he does on a regular daily basis.
He probably cuts back on the bok choy.
Yeah.
I hate bok choy.
Said he was, really?
Yeah.
You know who loves bok choy?
I like bok choy.
Hippos. We learned about that.
Oh, I don't even know what bok choy is. Is that, what is that?
It's like an Asian celery.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was like a style of food or something like that.
No, okay. it's a vegetable.
Like an arugula.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Wahlberg was undertaking a 47-day challenge, which is what he did, and that was for his role in that film. He stuck to his schedule even on family holidays and when working away from home. Last month, he posted a video on Instagram thanking the staff of a Manhattan gym for opening up early so that he could fit in one of his workouts.
So that's exactly the schedule that the guy who played Skippy on Family Ties followed during that series.
And he killed himself.
And he killed...
Look at that.
No, that's
Boner.
I was Boner. Yeah. What show was Skippy on?
It was a Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Oh. Yeah.
I was thinking of...
Boner. You were thinking of Boner on Growing Pains.
Growing Pains. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, nice. He didn't follow that regimen.
Well, Skippy's an Olympic athlete now.
Yeah.
So it worked for him.
It worked really well for him.
He has four children with his wife, Rhea, and he says getting up early leaves him lots of time to spend with his family.
Now, I would imagine that when you have a schedule like that with that kind of food intake, that the weekends are for pooping.
Yeah.
Right?
It would have to be, like, the entire weekend.
Yeah, you've got to have a specially built toilet, and you sit down, I guess, around Friday evening around 6, and stand up around Sunday night at 6.
He works out twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a split schedule.
Yeah, he has a 90-minute workout early in the morning, and then he works out again later in the day, another 90-minute workout, which I'm sure is intense as well. But he said, most of the time I get all my workout and do all my stuff while my family's asleep, especially on weekends. He said, by the time I've gotten up, worked out, done all my stuff, played golf, the kids are just waking up and my wife's sleeping in, so it works out good. But that's one of the big advantages of getting up early, he says. 2:30 is not getting up early. 2:30 is getting up in the middle of the night.
In the middle
it
of
is.
The night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Not getting up early.
No, like I would say 3:30 is maybe getting up early. 2:30
is insomnia.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's not living a life.
Right. So I get up at 3:45. So by his reckoning, I'm a loser.
Yeah. Lounge,
you know? You're a late like a sleeper. Student.
Yeah. I already know the answer to this question.
Go ahead.
You guys want to do a 47-day challenge?
Of course we do.
Okay.
Because it would just totally impact the show in a positive way. Because
that would kind of take us to around
death.
Thanksgiving.
Death.
Camp out for hunger?
It would take us right up until then.
If we're going to do that, we're going to need sales to not book meat and eats.
That's a problem. The food is so damn good. Dude, did you have the wings?
No, I had the cannolis.
See? Sales.
Well, he's talking about a 47-day cannoli challenge.
Yeah.
Saloon 151 came by Nick's doing an appearance there tomorrow night. Their wings are out of this freaking world. And
the cannolis are good, too.
We need to, if we were to do a 47-day challenge, that would have to stop.
Wait,
we're
not,
yeah, well, here's the deal. Want me to set this up the way so that we can do it?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah. You forgot that you went to McDonald's yesterday
in particular.
Yeah. Hey, you participated in National Cheeseburger Day. You totally blanked.
I ordered a small fry, guys.
No, I'll tell you why. Because you're more likely to do it if everyone else around you is doing it.
Yes.
And up at 2:30 a.m., go to a 24-hour McDonald's.
No. Yes.
Say my prayers that they're going to have more cheeseburgers. Get back in the car, work out, drive to Burger King.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Milkshake.
Small milkshake. Small. I'm in training.
Yes, small vanilla milkshake because chocolate is probably more calories.
By 47-day challenge, what would you mean? It's clearly
obesity challenge.
It's not doing the Mark Wahlberg workout.
No, God, no. No, no. I'm thinking like maybe
Donnie
if I
Wahlberg.
Have,
eat healthy and work out.
Eat nothing but Wahlburgers, hamburgers for 47 days.
No, come on.
You know, by the way, when they do this, they also have, you know, like he has a couple people who are preparing the food
and doing all that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If I can be pampered and have every single meal,
we're going to end up with Gary Lauer in a hot plate.
Who wants turkey burgers?
You're in my house.
But I wonder what.
Oh, my God. Gary opens up a gym called My House.
My House.
I'm your life coach.
I love it.
I wonder what.
As it turns out, I never sleep.
What I could do with this in 47 days. I wonder what I could chisel this into.
Okay, so you're talking about a very rigid program that you stick to by the letter for 47 days, and what would the results be?
Right.
Wait, you just said it's impossible.
It's impossible.
That's the right attitude.
Yeah,
it's a possible.
You're starting off on a good foot.
You're wondering what you could do.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
No, you would make a significant change.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be rock hard body, but you would definitely look better.
You'd be hard because you'd be dead and rigor mortis would have said it.
I've done it. I've cracked down and been very specific for a certain number of days, and the comments come forward. People are like, wow, man, you've lost some weight or you look really good, you know, and it's that helps to encourage you.
I'm currently in one. I'm trying to just kind of push it and see what I can do, but in a logical way.
Yeah.
I've like this week I decided to start to, you know, be a little bit more health conscious and eat better, and then I found a Buster bar in the freezer last night.
What is that?
What's a Buster bar? I want one.
Ice cream bar?
Yeah, you guys don't know what a Buster bar is?
No.
Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so my eyes don't go past the blizzard. when I go. Oh,
no,
to
no,
Dairy
this
Queen,
is in the so. Case.
Sounds
this,
like you're this... ready for that 47 days.
Yeah, well, it's going to be hard because I just discovered Big Gay Ice Cream. Have you guys had that yet?
I hear it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so what's in the Buster Bar, Preston?
It's a Buster Parfait, but frozen on a stick.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, Peanut Buster Parfait.
Ain't nobody like don't look parfait. I just messed that up. Go ahead, back.
We got cool press.
Nishnar blue flop blah blah.
These are
go ahead back to you by the way.
No, at Dairy Queen they have Buster bars, Dilly bars, and ice cream sandwiches that you can buy there.
Ooh.
That are in the case, and you take them home, you put them in the freezer. So.
Okay.
That you didn't. Wow, I thought you guys would have known. We've had that. I've eaten those since I was a kid.
Buster bars. I went and got. My wife was craving a Blizzard about a month ago. And I went and I was, you know, they are so good, but I was just not in the mood for it. So I dodged that bullet. But it's been a while, but those Blizzards are freaking good.
I think I have only gotten the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard. That's it. That's all I
not
ever
a
get.
Heath Bar?
No, Reese's.
I didn't even do those, man. They have their own creations. They make, like, they have a pumpkin pie one. They have a, chocolate strawberry was the last one. Blizzards.
Yeah, they have like a monthly one.
Yeah, they have like a monthly Blizzard.
Or
they have a menu of them as well that are not just, you know, do you want candy in it? They have like, you know.
Fish.
No, not fish.
You know what?
I'll take the
I'll have a Bass Blizzard, please.
We could do that 47 days.
That is good perch.
All right, yeah. I'm listening now again.
Yeah, a different Blizzard for 47 straight days.
But dude, every time I get a Blizzard, I just pray.
Ooh, it's pounds. Pike season. Mm. All right, I wake up at 2:30. I have a Jurassic Chomp Blizzard. I say an hour of prayer, then I go on to my Summerberry Cheesecake, if it's in season.
Oh, man. Hey, all right, let me go to Gordy here, who wants to suggest something. Gordy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Me?
Yeah.
No, it's Corey.
Oh, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
So, my friend's actually on this easy diet that I think is easy. It's called the all-meat diet.
All right, it's sort of like a paleo diet?
And so you just eat all meat. So you eat eggs in the morning, and you eat all meat.
Well, this sounds
complex. So wait a second. Like let me ask you something. Diet? This all-meat diet involves eating a lot of meat?
Yeah, so my friend's been on it in a month, and he lost 25 pounds already.
Okay. That's right. Like the keto diet? Is that similar? Or
you only eat
everybody's
ketas?
Doing that challenge right now.
Yeah.
I keep seeing it everywhere.
What is it?
It's meat, nothing but like fatty foods.
Thank you, Corey.
It's appreciate nothing it. But Blizzards.
Yeah. Hang on a second. So by this, you mean you could just sit and eat bacon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you cut out carbs.
Well, you lose. Cheese. How much does your heart weigh?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You lose that.
And listen, when those things sound like heaven, but after you have a day or two of missing out on all the other stuff, it gets to be a chore.
When you crap something that looks up at you and calls you daddy, you know you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Really, the thing, the best diet, and they've said it, and it's really what I'm kind of sticking to now, and I love it, the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
It's a heart healthy, cancer, best diet for your body. And they're talking about the longevity. No matter what time you know in your life you pick up the Mediterranean diet and all you know the leafy greens and all that stuff, all the things associated with the Mediterranean diet, it'll have a benefit to you.
Yeah,
keto is just a low carb diet.
Okay, yeah. That's it.
Keto's the guy. Gordy
in
keto.
In a nutshell,
Gordy is cheese allowed?
Probably not. Well, no. Look, Nick, natural fats. Oh no, that's
is that
butter,
Mediterranean
not cheese.
Or
Yeah, no, there is cheese, Nick.
Yeah, all right.
Cheese.
I can do cheese. One cheese.
Cheese.
I don't know what this is they're showing.
It's a picture from the keto website.
Okay, so you can't have fish or seafood?
No, you can. This is probably just like one meal they're showing. Like you can have
have zero eggs. Meat, zero natural fats, right. One egg.
Yeah.
You can have 1 to 5 vegetables, 1 cheese, and 0 fish and seafood.
No, it doesn't work that way, I don't think.
Or maybe
you can have 5 Blizzards.
But those are the points. Remember, those are the points that I don't know.
Wow. What are we saying here? You know what?
Hell.
Come on. Yeah. Look at Mark Wahlberg's eating freaking turkey burgers, and he's in superb shape. The truth is, though, that's a austere regimen.
Mm-hmm. You know what actually works for me? And I've gone through weight loss and kept it off for a long time.
Now, bulimia?
I have no. Well, it probably does, but it's unhealthy. And I vacillate a little bit within like a 10 pound range, but, is just using smaller plates.
Do you? Yes.
Rather than the big dinner plate and filling that thing up, no matter what you're eating, if you have a smaller like salad plate and that's your plate and you just eat that one plate,
yeah,
your portion size is a huge difference.
I wear oversized plastic glasses.
Yes.
And foam finger gloves to eat.
Okay.
Hulk hands when I eat and large oversized glasses.
And that seems to work for you. Right.
What does that do for you?
I can't pick up the silverware.
Oh, okay.
There was another one. I saw a link on Facebook and it was a hard-boiled egg diet. And you basically eat hard-boiled eggs for like 7 days. I don't think I could do that.
These are all trendy.
You would just fart Seriously. Your brains out.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
In fact, when you would fart, it would sound like a chicken.
Oh,
that would be my fart.
I'm going to go to Dylan. Hi, Dylan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
Neemer.
So, unfortunately, I only got a second because I'm about to be late for work. Okay. Which I blame on my cursed water heater.
Okay. But, your cursed water heater.
So I started the keto diet back in, like, November.
Yeah.
It was really tough to get into because my body just kept wanting to reject it. Felt like I had the flu all the time.
Sounds great.
It was terrible to begin with. But once you realize you need to replace your electrolytes every day, I've never felt better in my life.
So how much weight did you lose?
42 pounds.
42 pounds.
Yeah, in, like, 6 months.
I think any sort of diet, really the most effective diets are the diets that you it's through gradual attrition as opposed to shotgunning something that you won't be able to stick with.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, the magic diets are tough. They're hard. I took my time. It took me about a year to lose 65 pounds.
Yeah.
And then kept it off.
You ate nothing but carpet.
My brother's down about 45 pounds. And he works in landscaping. And for most of his workday, he was in a work truck. And so he would eat like crap. He'd go to drive-thru and eat fast food that was bad for you. And now he's spending time outside and eating better. And guess what? Diet and exercise work.
It's
simple. I mean, but I'm not trying to minimize it either. But if you can find ways to incorporate a better diet and a little more exercise, it goes a long way.
Well, also, I had a friend who lost a ton of weight with Weight Watchers. And honestly, because it's all like a point system.
Yeah.
She ate McDonald's ice cream. You know, and like, so she would save her points, and it's like, okay, well, like, you know, if that's going to be 5 points, then that I want an ice cream cone from McDonald's.
Yeah, the
and
hardest part about it is making it a part of your lifestyle. So, but try the Mark Wahlberg diet.
Yes,
if you want to.
Get up at 2:30.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Workout.
I cannot go to bed. Listen, I do not go to bed early now. I go to sleep at 11. I wake up at 3:45. That's what I do. But I, you know, and I've trained now with Dr. Rosenberg. I do the meditation, a half-hour meditation. I talked about this earlier, and it allows me to rest during the day, power up, and I feel good.
Nice.
And then I have my blizzards.
We got to take a break, and I do want to remind you that Saloon 151 has a scratch kitchen.
What?
With fresh local ingredients that are brought in daily, and they brought in their blackened scallops, smoked beet and sweet potato salad, and smoked wings and pumpkin mousse cannolis. Nick will be there tomorrow night. It's the Bud Light Philly Tour that's taking place. We'll be there from 7 to 9. Chance for you to win some tickets. And they are located, at 151 West Gay Street in Westchester. That's 7 to 9 tomorrow night. We'll be back in a moment. And we are going to have Hasan Minhaj on the show. So stay with us.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
All right, let's get right into the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll dive right into this story out of Memphis, Tennessee.
A man was arrested on Wednesday after allegedly opening fire on a home due to a believed problem with some neighborhood kids.
A believed problem?
Yeah. Jamisa London says that her neighbor, Richard Brackey, walked into the street with a handgun and shot it at her house. She says he was angry and claiming that a group of kids had been knocking on his door. One of them was her six.
They had a whole bunch of cookies.
One of them was her six-year-old nephew, and in other words, her nine-year-old niece. These are how old the kids are that this guy's taking a shot at.
So were they knocking and running away, or did they just simply knock on the door because they had something they wanted to inquire about? Well,
first of all, nobody was hurt, and they apparently the neighbors, the kids, say they didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything, so what better reason to bring your gun outside and start shooting?
London says somebody could have been killed. Nobody was down there. The kids were in the yard right here where we could see, and it's almost 9 o'clock at night. Brackey's wife tells a different story. She claims that the kids were trying to break into her husband's car.
Uh-huh.
You know, the 9 and 6-year-old. London denies the accusation and says that Brackey has pulled a gun on her family before but didn't shoot. She thinks that he was mad because her niece and nephews were playing outside and making too much noise. Police say Brackey admitted to having a problem with his neighbors, but told investigators he's never fired any shots. But he's now charged with reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. So it just sounds like a crazy neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Children out there laughing and having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Wyoming wildlife managers have euthanized two grizzly bears that they believe killed an elk hunting guide and injured his client near the border of Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks north of Jackson Hole.
I'm the bear's lawyer, and I want to specifically say Dink might have done this.
The two bears, a mother and a cub, are being examined in connection with the mauling death of a guide named Mark Uptain.
As a bear myself, I have trouble distinguishing between other bears. So tell me again, how many bears here?
Uptain and his client were preparing to pack out an elk that they had killed when they were attacked. The hunting client, Corey Chabon of Florida, escaped and called for help. Uptain was a married father of five, authorities said. All available evidence indicates these two bears were the bears involved in the attack, a spokeswoman said. Forensic testing will help them determine not only if the bears were involved, but if they had any underlying health issues or had previously been relocated by wildlife officials.
But what if one of the bears was not involved in it?
Then too bad. The two men were attacked by the bears as they field-dressed the elk, which they had shot Thursday, but were only able to find early Friday. The bears aggressively charged the men, but hadn't touched the elk. The incident comes just weeks after a federal judge temporarily halted Wyoming state officials' plan for a grizzly hunt this month, which hunters said was needed to control the growing population of grizzlies living near humans.
Their ability, obviously, to smell blood is incredible,
yeah.
And that's what drew them there.
A man has been arrested by the Customs Department at the Indira Gandhi International Airport for allegedly trying to smuggle in 1 kilogram of gold by hiding it in the rectum.
Really? Nearly killed him.
The 24-year-old passenger was intercepted upon his arrival from Dubai on Monday. On detailed baggage examination and personal search, it was discovered that the accused had hidden 9 gold bars.
Jesus.
Inside.
Jesus.
The gold bars were seized. And can you imagine? Okay, I'm going to put the 9th one in now.
All right, we got it. We got it, buddy. Hang in there.
The gold bars were seized and the passenger was arrested. In another case, a French national and an Indian were arrested for allegedly trying to smuggle gold into the country. Both of the accused had arrived at the Delhi airport from different locations. So smuggling gold is kind of a regular thing.
Oh, my God. The lengths people will go to.
Yep. University of Louisiana at Lafayette Research Facility revealed a 12-pound rhesus macaque monkey escaped due to cage failure on Saturday.
Where's macaque?
The animal was seen last Sunday morning near the New Iberia Sug Arena. I guess. I don't know.
Sugar Ray.
This weekend at the Sugar Arena, the macaque.
A Facebook post from the university cautions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sugar Arena. Now in the center ring, the macaque.
A Facebook post from the university cautions people not to approach the animal if they
don't approach it.
If they encounter it, they said personnel from the center are actively working on recapturing the animal.
And macaques are biters.
Yeah. Let's see. I got time for one more. All right. I need to find out where this is, where hell is.
It's you dig down really far, you'll hit it.
There's a city called Hell, and I'm not sure where in the U.S. this is, but about 65 hearses descended on Hell Saturday, despite the cancellation of the annual Hearse Fest. According to Frank Hendine, who organized the 16-year festival before it was canceled late last month because of concerns by township officials over traffic and parking congestion, more than 750 spectators and hearse collectors showed up for what they call just hearsing around. Hearse Club members, child's wedding at the chapel in Hell.
When I was in college, I had the opportunity. I was seriously considering buying a hearse. It was in really good condition, mm-hmm. and the price is pretty good. You know, because you just sleep back there. It's pretty cool.
There's a girl that works at a local comic shop in Skipack who has a hearse.
She has a hearse, yeah. Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
It's in Michigan, by the way, Preston.
Hell, Michigan. Thank you very much. So deputies were in Hell to monitor parking and keep the road open to traffic. Festival organizers had predicted this year's event could potentially bring more than 900 people and possibly break the Guinness World Record for the most hearses in a procession. The record is 107 and is currently held by a group in the Netherlands. Mm. So they weren't able to get a permit, but they went ahead and had their event anyway. But there are tons of hearse owners that like to get out there and show them off.
They're kind of cool.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the B-File this morning. Let's take one more break so we can get back and we can spend some time with Hasan Minhaj, who's going to be at the Miriam Theater on Sunday. A second show was added. Tickets at KimmelCenter.org, but we'll talk to him when we get back. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
I'm going to give you a few more minutes to text in and win some tickets to see our next guest, actually, who's going to be performing at the Miriam Theater on Sunday. This is for the second show. First show sold out, 10 p.m. show. So text the word SECRET to 39333. You'll be in the running to win the tickets. We'll ask you to call in a little bit. We'll also grab a random caller. And the person I'm speaking of that has his comedy show this weekend, Hasan Minhaj.
Hey!
He's on this morning. Hasan, good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
There was a little pause there.
Is there someone in the room,
Hasan? I'm doing all right.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're doing fair to Midland, that's all right, too. I mean, it's still not bad.
Yeah. I just had my coffee, so I'm starting to feel better.
No problem. I mean, the news of adding a second show is certainly means that something's going in the right way.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really thrilled. I've always loved performing in Philly.
Yeah, well, the crowd is very receptive to stand-up. For the longest time, we had sort of a stand-up drought here in that there were not a lot of venues that booked it. But now it's an embarrassment of riches, and the crowd is very receptive. So you're going to have a great time here.
I can't wait.
Hey, Hasan, I have to ask you about this, because my daughter, who's 11 years old, brought home a comic book the other day, or a graphic novel, if you will, and it was Miss Marvel. And I didn't know she was reading that. And I understand you have joined the writing team for Miss Marvel and Marvel Comics. And I wasn't even really that familiar with the character. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, Miss Marvel is a series right now, a comic book series that they have at Marvel Comics. And they, for their anniversary issue, they reached out and they said, hey, do you want to write a little storyline with us? And I'm a big fan of the new Spider-Man, Miles Morales and Kamala Khan. And so I wrote a little adventure where Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel sort of collaborate and have a little bit of a love story, so to speak. It's really,
really?
Yeah.
Right, cool. Does
your 11-year-old daughter will like it?
All right, does Ms. Marvel tie into Captain Marvel at all?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Because the trailer came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw the movie trailer or not.
Yeah, it's great. I don't want to give too much away, but yes, Captain Marvel is definitely a mentor character to Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, and they're actually, as they move along in the Marvel series and the movie series, they're actually talking about progressing the series to include the iterations of Spider-Man that you were talking about, because there's still a whole wealth of characters that have yet to be explored on film. You get the indication that perhaps if it goes to film, there might be maybe a writing entree for you on that.
Look, man, I don't want to, you know, fingers crossed. That would be so cool to go from the comedy space to then, you know, I write jokes, and then to be like, hey, do you want to write a superhero movie? Sure.
Well, you know, like Brian Posehn has written that, you know, he wrote a lot of the Deadpool stuff, and you know, there's a lot of comedians who are, you know, in the nerd. We're squarely in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
Love all that stuff. Yeah, and it's you know, it's honestly, it's got to be a dream come true to be attached to something that I'm sure, you know, fueled your youth.
Yeah, man. I mean, I grew up with it. I grew up with, you know, X-Men, Spider-Man, and stuff like that. So for me to see it, to see the series evolve and grow and include characters who look like me, I mean, that's really cool.
This is possibly, Steve and I have said this many times, this could be the greatest time for nerd culture, so-called nerd culture,
yeah,
to be alive, period. We've got so much awesome entertainment right now. I wonder if there is fear of burnout, of overexposure, of too much of it, and all of a sudden it reels back and then we lose it. But I don't see that happening.
I really don't think so, man. And I think as the world is becoming more global and digital and stuff like that, and especially like when I come to the shows,
mm-hmm.
I see my shows around the country and around the world now. I'm like, man, there's no, we are just starting.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I grew up in the, you know, the NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox thing and being like, oh, do you have cable? That's a big thing.
Right. Yeah.
Now. Yeah. Cable was the thing. Oh, I got HBO Showtime and I got Comedy Central. That's nuts. And now when you realize, you're just like, oh, my God, like, you know, I'm doing my show on Netflix. We reach 190 countries. Even with all the programs that Netflix has, you're never going to be able to, where we're currently at, reach everybody. And that thing is really exciting to me, that things can get more and more specific. And it's, for me as a nerd, get more and more nerdy. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
No, it's absolutely wild. And the thing you have to do is just step back and absorb and enjoy the fact. Like I was saying to my wife the other day, I was waiting for something I had to attend, and I was sitting in my car on my phone streaming an episode of The Twilight Zone, the original Rod Serling in his wildest dreams. Couldn't imagine that you could call up any episode. You know, but there you go. In the context, you have to sometimes just sit back and appreciate where we are and what we have.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of Netflix, I'm a huge fan of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And I have to ask you, Hassan, how much crap have you caught for not even knowing what a stick shift is when Jerry brought you the Ferrari that was a manual?
God. Dude, people are like giving me, like, they're just riding me for it. And I'm like, you got to understand, the two cars I've driven in my life are a Nissan Stanza and a Toyota Camry. I've never driven sticks before.
It was a great episode. I thought that, and it was a cool car. But I thought it was, it got cut a little short. It seems like with some comedians, Jerry will take a little more time. And I wanted to see more of you and have a little bit more.
Oh, man, I know. You get to spend 5 hours with him, and you know, he really boils it down from coffee to espresso. So, you know, it'll become like, you know, 12 or 13 minutes. So, yeah, but hanging out with Jerry was great. It's also fun because you're just like, okay, you know, he really, what was really, really sweet of him is he sort of, you know, and he says it in the episode, he's like, you're like young me. I remember being 32 and, you know, you're starting to do your own thing and people are recognizing you in the street. He's like, I know what this is like. That's why I brought you this car. It really did feel like the Padawan hanging out with you.
What was your, no, so the lore is that you caught the muse for stand-up comedy after seeing Chris Rock perform. Is that in fact the case?
That is correct.
Yeah.
I was a speech and debate kid. I was a big speech and debate kid. I'm a nerd, you know? I love rhetoric and I love arguments and stuff like that. And then I saw Chris Rock and I go, oh, this is funny speech and debate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really just doing forensics on stage. He's just making a funny argument.
And it's worked to your benefit. I mean, and not to go too nerdy too. I see this here. I have to address this. Are you doing voiceover for work for video games as well?
I did. I was one of the voices in the video game Far Cry 4. So fan of the Far Cry series.
Do you play? You play?
No, I swear that I was like in high school. I got to run a show, man.
I know. You got to get into radio. You have a lot more free time.
I definitely am into, you know, first person shooter and RPG games.
All right.
So Far Cry definitely is a fun game.
Well, concerning the material and working on it, and obviously doing, you know, the Netflix stuff and all of that. As a comedian, I've always heard, I did stand up for myself for about 10, 11 years. It's a double-edged sword. You bless and enjoy and love the writing process, but the second it's written and you're performing it, that's done now. You're refining that, and then you've got to, the drive to keep creating and bringing in new material, has it skipped up exponentially with the increase in your fame, as you said, in this global audience?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I just try to not have the pressure exceed the pleasure.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you got to realize, like, guys, we're doing what we love here. I mean, this is like, we've won the game.
Yes.
The fact that we're showing up and we're just riffing and bantering right now and, you know, getting to write jokes is just, I'm like, okay, put that in perspective, number one. And then number two is really making it that, especially for us as writers, comics, performers, you know, people that do stuff on air, it's making those little challenges fun. Hey, I treat every joke like a little puzzle. So all I got to do is just figure out this little puzzle. Before you know it, and it's a really, really great allegory for life. You figure out one little puzzle at a time. That's one bit. And then the next day you work on a second bit and a third. And before you know it, you're like, wow, I'm sitting on 70 minutes of material.
That's great.
I have to shave this down to 60.
Yeah. You know?
But no matter how talented somebody is, they might go through a block, a dry spell, low tide in the creativity department. What do you do? What is there anything you can do? Because forcing it usually doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I just try to live life, man. And especially with smartphones, it's tough. But, you know, take a walk. If I'm in Philly, I'm definitely going to take a walk and go to my favorite place, Hip City Veg, which I.
Oh my God! Okay, yeah, movies. Yeah. So, and you'll agree with this.
Hip City Veg. You guys, please cater. Between show one and show two, Hip City Veg. If you're listening.
Well, the best sweet potato fries.
Yeah, they're great. Man.
Yeah.
They have this dessert which they're like, oh, it's just banana, and I'm like, there's no way this is just banana.
Well, let me tell you something else. The best chicken sandwich I've ever had, I had there, and it has no chicken in it.
Yeah, their chicken sandwich is great, actually.
Yeah. So, all right, Hip City Veg. What else do you do when you're going to be in town?
Well, my sister went to Penn.
Oh.
I used to visit her once a year. Yeah. I will also do my tradition of going to Wawa. Now, there's a big debate that I also present people, especially in the state of Pennsylvania, is, are you a Wawa person or a Sheetz person?
Oh my God! We have this conversation all the time. I think it's really a good part of it is geography. It's where you are along.
Turnpike. When you get to near Harrisburg, it starts to blend together. You get both Wawa and Sheetz, but on this side, it's all Wawa.
Okay, I hate to say this, you guys, but I'm a Sheetz person.
Oh, why don't you just stay in New York this weekend? Yeah. And
thought you wanted to sell out that second show.
But I'm on my way up. I look, when I was doing Penn State, Albington, and all those tiny little colleges. Sheetz got me through a
now,
lot.
Now, we can understand you have that affinity because of the location, but I think if you spend enough time living the Wawa lifestyle as we do, you'll see the error of your ways. I have to ask you, so in your family, you have your father a scientist, your mother a doctor, your sister a lawyer, right?
Yes.
You're a comedian. Did you have to have, was that an uphill battle?
What do you guys think?
When you express your desire,
why don't you give me an overall?
I'm going to guess it was a little bit of a conflict.
Yeah, just a little one.
But what wouldn't it be? And listen, I don't think that you would probably be this way in your family, but it could be a little bit of an internal sweet revenge if. And ultimately, it looks like you're on this trajectory, will end up earning far more than they will in their various vocations.
I mean, it's not. You know what? It's not like
it's
that.
Completely about that.
Yeah.
No. What I was going to ask is,
I'm not trying to do the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech with my family.
Yeah.
They're proud and they're really happy and they genuinely just look. You know, as a child of immigrants, they just wanted me to be okay, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Hey, you're I remember my dad telling me, he goes, "You're capable. You don't need to perform at 2 a.m. in a bar." And I'm like, I hear you.
Yeah. So he wants only the best for you, and that's why he was expressing that. But you had your dream. But again, you have incredibly, scholarly people in the family. I had to imagine that was when you first stated your desire, that had to be a little tumultuous.
Yeah. But we got through it.
All right. Obviously, yeah, it's working out quite nicely.
Hey, by the way, Hassan, Marissa, our associate producer here, just handed me a note, and apparently, while you're in town, it's Vegan Restaurant Week in Philadelphia.
Ah,
so
are you serious?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
By the way, Philly. Just so you guys know, and this is important for the second show. September 23rd is my birthday.
So gifts are welcome.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you need? What are you looking for? Like PlayStation gift cards or?
man. I just want people to come out.
Just come down. The best gift is to sell out that other show.
Yeah.
All right. And we will do that and remind everybody that it is Sunday on Hassan's birthday. 10 p.m. is the second show, and you can get the tickets through KimmelCenter.org. And obviously, you got a ton of fans here, and you love this city. So hopefully, you'll have a good time this weekend, Hassan. So good luck to you. Enjoy. Stop by Wawa. You'll come around, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Hassan Minhaj.
Yeah.
By the way, our secret text word tickets, and we'll do that in a minute. So text word secret to 39333. You have just a few moments. Normally, we do it before we get to the trash and music news, but we got to do the trash and music news right now. We got to do the lesson question. So we'll hold off and we'll do the secret text word.
We're rebels.
Yep. By the way, we're going to give away a pair of tickets in a suite and a parking pass to join Nick and Jackie Bam Bam at the Monster Energy, NASCAR
right.
Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway on October 7th. Yes, it was a chicken wing.
Sorry, my larynx popped.
Let's do this question. If you maintain an eating exercise schedule like Mark Wahlberg does, what are weekends for? 215-263-WMMR. If you maintain an eating and exercise schedule like Mark Wahlberg does, what are the weekends for? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you can get it right. We're going to do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic in Newtown Square. Join Jackie Bam Bam and Full Mummers Ensemble for their grand opening this Saturday. The licensed chiropractors from The Joint are going to be giving away free adjustments, plus other great giveaways and prizes. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Dakota Johnson and Coldplay's Chris Martin are rumored to have secretly gotten engaged. Paraphrasing a Coldplay song, Johnson said, "All I know is that I love him so much that it hurts." While he said of her, "She gives me 50 shades of boner."
Oh, my God.
Julie Chen formally announcing she's leaving the talk in a pre-recorded video Tuesday. Chen said that right now she needs to be home with her son and the, quote, "thing that now looks like Les Moonves, but has had its penis ripped off with a claw hammer." And finally, Katie Holmes reportedly taking a dig at ex-husband Tom Cruise by producing a movie that celebrates psychiatry, which runs contrary to the tenets of Scientology. Holmes is denying that the movie is a salvo against her ex and says she can't wait to get started on Tom Cruise and Scientology Can Suck My Ass. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if you do indeed know the answer to this question. If you maintain an eating and exercise schedule like Mark Wahlberg does, what are the weekends for? And I will go to Russ for the answer. Russ?
Snarf.
Russ, do me a favor and tell me what the weekends are for.
For pooping.
Pooping.
Yes.
He's correct. Hang on, buddy. Set you up, man. We have a pair of tickets in a suite and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McElwain of Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race. Dover International Speedway on October 7th. NASCAR returns at Dover October 5th through the 7th. Tickets start at $50 and kids' tickets are just $10. You can get yours at Dover Speedway Kathy.com. Kathy.
Yes, sir.
Give me a number caller for a secret text word, please.
22.
All right, 22. 22 at 215-263 WMMR. You will get those Hasan Minhaj tickets if you know the secret text words. So caller number 22, and then we will grab a random texter as well. In the meantime, we're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Our music news this morning is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. We'll start with Stone Temple Pilots and a story that we had touched on a little while back, and now there's a response. Guitarist Dean DeLeo.
Yes.
Has denied claims by his estranged wife that he was ever abusive to her. DeLeo pushed back against the accusations leveled by Jen DeLeo in newly filed court documents.
Mm.
Among the claims that Jen made when she first filed for divorce last June was that he allegedly admitted to adultery and made violent threats to her in front of the couple's six-year-old daughter, June. Jen also claims that Dean began abusing drugs and alcohol shortly after she gave birth to June in 2012 and once took the child into the ocean where she nearly drowned while he was, quote, completely inebriated. Jen also claimed that Dean physically assaulted her after he came into their garage after a night of binge drinking, nearly killing her. She also claimed that he has attempted to strangle her multiple times over the course of their relationship.
And he's categorically denying all of this.
In his new filing, Dean stated that Jen's cheating allegations are false and insisted that he has been clean and sober from drugs and alcohol since 2013. He also insisted that the story about taking the child into the ocean while drunk was a lie. He attached declarations from his teenage son, ex-wife, and current girlfriend, all of whom vouched for him as a father who has a strong bond with his children. Now, on a side note, one thing that Dean claims in his new filing is that when he first met Jen, she used to tell him that her husband at the time was mean and physically abusive. And Dean now says that he had a chance to meet Jen's ex and get to know him and says that he is a gentleman and not the violent man Jen portrayed him as.
Do you know who it is?
No.
Louis Anderson.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Could there be
gay.
A nicer guy?
Yeah. Dean alleges that Jen is now attempting to do the exact same thing to him. So
it seems, listen, you can never fully know. Obviously, it's their world, but it certainly doesn't seem as black and white as it might have before.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see what happens in the courts.
Yes.
With all of that. Linkin Park vocalist Mike Shinoda has reportedly been sending random pieces of ripped paper to fans in the mail.
Awesome.
Shinoda recently tweeted that he wanted 50 fans to send him their home addresses. It was unknown at the time what his intentions were, but fans are speculating, that pieces went to one person from all 50 states. Reddit users have begun compiling the pieces into an image, which seems to point towards some sort of tour with alternative hip-hop artist Kay Flay, who also appears on one of Shinoda's new songs called Make It Up As I Go. It was recently announced that the Linkin Park member would headline the 2018 Monsters Outbreak Tour, which kicks off on October 10th in Montreal. Shinoda will be out in support of his recently released solo album, Post Traumatic.
So he was sending these little pieces of paper to... He was sending them?
Yeah, he was sending them, and then it makes a puzzle.
Oh.
And then they put it together, and they're going to try and figure out what it says.
I got you.
It's actually pretty clever.
It is, but I was just in my mind's eye imagining just a white piece of paper that had been ripped into 50 pieces.
No, it's like a poster.
This is the worst puzzle ever.
Breaking Benjamin has reached the top of the rock radio charts for the ninth time in its career with Torn in Two, the latest single from the band's sixth studio album member. The track is also the second consecutive single from the LP to hit number one following Red Cold River earlier this year.
It's pretty amazing.
Recently wrapped the summer portion of their North American Outdoor Amphitheater tour with co-headliners Five Finger Death Punch. Bob Seger has just announced that his upcoming dates will constitute the beginning of his and the Silver Bullet Band's farewell tour.
Ah,
Bob Seger's great.
He absolutely.
Man, that guy's a great songwriter, not just a performer, but the songs lyrically that he's written are they're fantastic.
Night Moves and Main Street.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite songs of all time.
We've Got Tonight.
Yeah, We've Got I mean, Tonight. Nick's up. Favorite frat party song.
Party anthem.
Party on. And you know what I like? The album that had American Storm and Like a Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Great, great song. Is great even, stuff. Even
once
now.
Some spritzers.
Still here we are.
And he, what has he been married, 58 times or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Has he?
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know he's been through a bunch
he's
of
He's a bit
wives.
Of a character. And the word, the story is that in the movie The Mask, the kid Rocky Dennison was supposedly a big Bruce Springsteen fan, but they couldn't get rights to the music, so they used Bob Seger songs instead.
Okay.
Because you know, that's, I guess.
The Mask was with Jim Carrey, but Mask.
Mask, yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Eric Stoltz.
Pretty much the same story, but
yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah, weird faces.
What's the details on the tour?
Seger has a string of shows booked for later this year to make up for the concerts postponed after he was forced off the road for back surgery, but the Rock and Roll and Songwriter Hall of Famer decided to tag on more shows and wind his 50-plus stage career down, and the Traveling Man tour kicks off November 21st in Grand Rapids. I looked at the current release dates. I didn't see anything in directly in our region. So
okay.
I don't know if Bob was, you know, it might be one of those areas that he doesn't. He's definitely a Midwest.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he's a Michigan, Missouri, Oklahoma.
Italy.
No. He does really, really well in the heartland.
He does.
But hopefully he'll come out this way because I would go to that show.
Right. He says,
it's a string of hit records.
Absolutely.
You know?
You better see his. He said the farewell tour will not go on for longer than 10 years.
Well, yeah. And I believe he's playing Spring Break. I think MTV's bringing that back. And he's going to.
Really?
Yes. Panama City.
Yeah. Come on, everybody.
Nick will be all weepy. Oh, the memories. I know you're
playing. For those who don't realize, Nick at a frat party one night decided that it was in the middle of a raucous frat drinking party, decided that this would be the song bring everybody together to sing. And
yeah, only was it at a frat party, it was with like the most hardcore brothers in the fraternity. Like these dudes were into like Pantera.
Why didn't you put on Luca?
It was so pathetic.
What did they do when it came out?
They all pointed and laughed, you know. And then it became a running joke in the fraternity, just like it's become a running joke here.
You're like, I'm sorry, I'll play a different song.
This is for Matt Chartrand and Bud Shank and Brick.
Brick.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So
Tony Diggin?
How long into the song before it was shut down, or did you let the whole song play?
That's a good question. I don't know. It happened at like 12:31 in the morning, so it was not even like
a prime party time.
Yeah,
when someone realized it, like as the mood started.
What is this?
What are we listening to?
Yeah, I've had that happen where you're like, you know, halfway through, like,
what is this? Someone changed this.
Who let Nick have the CDs?
One last story. Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan, in a new interview, said that there are vast amounts of previously unreleased music from the band in archives that he's excited to finally release thanks to the strength of both vinyl and digital music sales. He said, we're going to just start unloading the archives, and we have archives for decades. Asked about the extent of the archive, he said, you can't even imagine. And drummer Jimmy Chamberlain added that there were hundreds of songs, all in a finished state. I mean, ready to go.
Hundreds of songs?
He said, we could literally never record another song and have a release every 2 months for the next 20 years. Easy. Said there's alternate versions, there's live versions, there's acoustic versions. So maybe it's some of the songs you know.
Okay, song, 100 different versions.
Also original versions as well. So we're going to actually kill people with content. Uh-oh.
Special guest.
I think you know what that music means. Bill West and Man About Town is in the studio.
I have an addendum.
Yes.
A codicil. An extra element to the music. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, James Lipton.
A strange story just happened like in the last day. Neil Young dropped a concert in on the Tower Theater. Did you hear about it?
There were rumors, and it's a fact?
It is a fact. Sometimes in the business, there's like what's called a four-wall rental, where an artist will come in, and outside of the traditional promotional machinery, we'll just rent a place, kind of like that. So, yeah, Neil Young's playing on the Tower. And
we have a date?
There is a date, but I don't have it.
You're not at the... Okay. All right.
But if you rock a wiki...
here's another frat party song.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
Pop that on.
What's out the Zima?
Tickets went on sale like a day ago, which you would think Neil Young at the Tower would sell out in a second.
Yeah.
But nobody knows about it. because they didn't advertise or whatever. So if you're a Neil Young fan.
So it's is it two nights, Bill? Is it? I'm looking at the September 30th and October 1st. Will it be? He's done tours in the past where it's been like a particular show, like he did that Greendale tour.
Ooh, that was a stinker,
right? So
yeah, I saw that in New York. Oh, it wasn't bad, but it was. But I knew what I was getting into.
I don't have a whole lot of details, but I thought if you're a Neil Young fan, you should check it out because I think tickets are still available.
All right, so it's a concert. It's not him in Starlight Express.
Yeah, it's a Monday. Maybe we could have him in the studio. I think he'd play Crackshot or something like that.
Ooh. Absolutely. I'd love to get shot in the ass. Well, now he's Daryl Hannah, right?
Yeah,
that's his squeeze.
Did they get married?
I think they're... I don't know if they got married. They might have gotten married.
Pierre knows a lot about Neil Young. His wife, Peggy, was like... They were married for like 30, 40 years or something.
Pierre's wife.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I didn't know Pierre's wife was named Peggy.
That's why I leave it to the professionals. Okay. But wanted to add that to music news.
Oh, thank you.
That's a wonderful tidbit of information.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Looks like Neil Young, the 30th and the 1st, 30th of this month.
Just out of the blue.
Into the black.
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
You pay for this, but they give you that.
All right, so... that's all that I have in music news for you this morning.
He looks like a panhandler.
We are looking for caller number 22 for our secret text word, and that happens to be Dennis. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
Dennis, do you indeed know the secret text word?
I do. It's corkscrew.
You got it. Hang on a second, Dennis.
Stanley.
It's this one. This never stops. We're going to give him tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Merriam Theater on Sunday at 10 p.m. The 7 p.m. show is sold out. You can get tickets for the 10 p.m. show at Ticketmaster.com. And we're also... No, it never ends. And we're also going to give away tickets to Jim Reardon, who is our random texter. And Jim is from Willow Grove. So, Jim, you also get tickets. And once again, tickets for the 10 p.m. show to see Hasan Minhaj are available at Ticketmaster.com. So, congratulations to everybody on board. I'm talking this up until it ends, by the way. So, we have some resolution at the very end of this. And I think it will end right here.
Yeah.
God.
Why wasn't that in the list of iconic
it should have been.
Television songs?
That was television theme songs. Yeah. That is one of the greats. Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
All right, we got to take a break. Was that you, Bill?
That was Bill
singing in the background.
Come and knock on our door.
I'd like to hear that.
Hers and his.
We should have Bill sing theme songs.
We should do something.
Absolutely.
Great idea.
All right. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Wow. We've gone deep into the program.
What?
Wow. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you dropped something.
I did, actually, but that's not why I was laughing.
Okay, gotcha. Saw him out of the corner of my eye. Something fall down. I'm like, what? It is getting near wrap-up time, as you can probably tell. Kind of babbling on.
It's sort of weird. We had a busy day yesterday.
Yeah.
We were rushing around, but it's all good. But I do feel a little tired today.
Well, Wednesday, man.
So I think we have a sweat lodge that we keep in our office. I think we're both going to go into it.
Hey, I got to thank a bunch of people. And I'm going to start with the food we got today. Saloon 151 came by. And the Bud Light Philly Tour is taking over a different neighborhood bar every Thursday night this football season. WMMR.com/Philly to learn when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. And I'll just say Philly again, because why not? But Nick will be at Saloon 151 tomorrow night from 7 to 9, chance to win Eagles tickets and some autographed merchandise. And you got to try their wings. Were fantastic. Their smoked wings. And you had the pumpkin mousse cannolis. You guys said those
I
are
I did
great.
Have one, oh, and they were delicious.
And they had the blackened scallop smoked beet and sweet potato salad, which is wonderful. So it's really good food. So thank you, those guys, for coming by. Tom Segura.
Yeah.
Looking to sell out the 4th show at the Merriam Theater and KimmelCenter.org for the tickets. And also Hasan Minhaj, who we just had on. He's a great guy. He added a second show at the Miriam Theater as well, and that's this Sunday, 10 o'clock, KimmelCenter.org. You can get those tickets. Thanks to all the ladies that were on our hottie cam this morning. That
yes.
Came by too. So we had Gabrielle, Dominique, Morgan, Alexa, Alexandra, and Maggie, and Sam, who wasn't on the cam, but she stopped by too. So thank you, gals, for being here. And yesterday we were live at City Hall with Pierre Robert, who's here.
Good day.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Had a cool experience yesterday?
It was really neat. The room, the mayor's reception room, is quite ornate. It's part of the older, well, the whole building is old, but, I mean, some of it was updated in the 50s, not so nicely, with drop ceilings and stuff like that. But this part is really beautifully original to the structure of the room and of the building, and it's gigantic.
I think we were there, Preston. That's the room we were in for the Camp Out for Hunger when that was recognized.
Oh, quite wow. Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It's a beautiful room.
Yeah, I hold in my hand the proclamation, official proclamation that Councilman David O. read yesterday, and thank you for allowing us to take the last portion of your show to do that.
Sure.
But it was cool, you know. And then, I mean, we had the big wigs come in, Bruce Beasley coming in from the head of the company, and of course Joe Bell and Bill Weston, and our sales staff Paul and Bill Burns and Jim Antes, and
everybody did a good job.
Yeah, it was fun.
Was Calper there?
Matt.
He
was
introduced
not able
the Calper resolution,
but he was sick. That's
he
why
was sick. Though, yeah.
But he was
sorry. I can't be there because I'm sick. but as Sam Adams said.
And Eric Simon was there, and Paul.
It was cool, though. And actually, our feed was very good. We had a really solid video feed.
Yeah, it was great. Cool. You know, and the Councilman O did the whole thing. And he's got a show. I think it's called Down
Keeping
with
Up
O.
with the Kardashians. Down with O?
No, he's got a show, and it's on one of our sister stations in the Beasley Group now.
Is that right?
Yeah, WWDB, which used to be on FM, is now on AM.
So it's a public affair, is that probably?
Yeah, and he has Councilman O has a show from 2 to 3 on Tuesdays. And I'll get more. I wrote it down anyway. But he was very nice, and the proclamation was great, and it was just really cool. So that was a fun way to start things. And then
excellent.
That kicks us into Alumni Week here. Yeah. For the 50th anniversary.
You got a co-host today, huh?
I have a co-host. Of co-hosts, I have a co-host. DeBell used to call him the Planet of Tearson. And Michael Tearson will be joining me.
Wow.
And we will have, I don't know where we'll sail. But
when's
we'll
he coming by?
Noon.
Okay.
So each day this week at noon, I will have a different co-host. Tomorrow cool. It'll be John DeBella at noon. And then on Friday, it'll be Earl Bailey. So it'll be very fun.
Nice, man.
And Saturday is the little shindig.
The reunion.
Yeah. Well, and all on the air on this weekend, we'll be having all alumni weekend. So you'll be hearing voices from the past who will be coming on at different spots during the weekend on the air. So that'll be fun.
It's an amazing thing to have a connection to.
Yeah. I mean, most stations wouldn't, you know, like that, Kink song Around the Dial. One of our DJs is missing. Usually, once they're gone, they're under the rug and never spoken of again.
Right.
And in this particular case, you know, well, we're a station that's not afraid to welcome back our staff from the past.
Earl's on Friday, you said?
Yeah.
I love Earl.
Earl's voice alone,
yeah.
I mean, is amazing. So we're going to have fun.
Cool. We do have to get a letter from you.
Yes.
We're two in, so here comes number three.
Right after...
Yes. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, this morning, the Preston and Steve radio program is brought to you today by the letter...
U as in Ultraman.
All right, we have a four-pack of pit tickets for Rock Allegiance Saturday, October 6th, at BB&T Pavilion and Wiggins Waterfront Park. And you get to introduce Skillet and Badflower with Brent Porsche up on the main stage. There's three stages, 20-plus bands. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com, including the $19.33 lawn ticket special, which is available through this Sunday. No password required. So we give that away on Friday. Should be pretty cool. What's up on the program today, Pierre?
Well, I'll have a pair of tickets for that to give away. Also, not the grand prize that you have, but a regular pair of tickets for Rock Allegiance. And I will, excuse me, at 11 a.m.,
it'll I've been having back. The same thing
it'll
all day.
Come around.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll come back. At 11 a.m., another bird word or what are we calling it?
Birthday bucks.
Birthday bucks. another chance at $1,000 with the Ultra contest. What is it called?
The Ultra Contest.
The Ultra Contest.
Yes.
Because
featuring birthday box.
Yeah, the Ultra Contest, and we'll have a word and a different way of going about it, which is different than it has been in the past. So if I haven't confused you enough already, stay tuned.
Dude, it's actually easier. Easier than it's ever been. We'll say that with the app. It's unbelievably easy.
All right. And as a point of further clarity, I just found out the Neil Young tickets can be found at neilyoungarchives.com. neilyoungarchives.com.
King Kong.
It's a new meditation site.
Yes. Calm.
Not calm.
Neil Young, King Kong.
neilyoungarchives.com, and you go to the news page.
You will be there, obviously.
Yes.
Yes. That's very cool. And that he just out of the blue did this.
Actually, just talked to him, and he does want to come in and get crack-shotted.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Will he bring Daryl Hannah with him?
Yeah, and they did get married, by
they
the way.
They did got married, okay.
They did got married.
They did got married.
Yoo-hoo. I do got me a show to do, too. We're off to a flying start, Presbo.
We got cool.
We got cool.
I'll take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2070 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow's program will include comedian Lavelle Crawford in studio and our friend Alexis Texas. Adult film star is stopping by tomorrow, too. So we'll have those things and more. That's it. We're done. So you rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Good morning. Just wanted to congratulate my ex who got married this weekend. Wish you two a happy life. And if you could stop calling me at 2:30 in the morning, that'd be great. Congratulations again.
Next message.
September morn. We danced and like became a brand new day. Two lovers playing dreams in some romantic play. September morn is stuck to make me feel this way.
Next message.
I definitely need Jerkman's comp for calling my boss fat on Preston and Steve. It was worth it.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.